welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
What is going on?
Good times. All right, 866-901-ADAM, the phone number. Was I late?
Well, we went a little more into the music than usual, but you were here. I was looking right at you.
Yeah, I was staying in the kitchen. You know, the kitchen, sometimes they punch up the other stations we're on the floor with. And I was listening to Kokomo by the Beach Boys.
You can't stop with that.
Which has made Music Monday more than once, I believe.
That is,
I did a cover.
Is right.
Songs that get stuck in your head and songs that suck.
Danny, let's see. Well, first off, good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big Brian.
You,
suck.
Now we're talking. You did, Howard Stern this morning?
His TV show and his radio show, yeah.
Ah, how was it?
You know what? I mean, he's great. He's like one of my biggest fans because he said repeatedly, and even on not only just on his show, but on the Larry King show, that Breaking Bonaducci is the best television show in history.
Wow.
So, yeah. Oh, I mean, he went, well, you know, he said it's the only reality show I've ever actually seen. I've never seen a reality show, you know, and most people haven't. So he's always really nice to me, but he didn't really seem to know know much from me. He was asking me what I was going to do when other people started banging my wife.
Oh, you know what? I actually wondered about that yesterday.
So do the people that she wants to date.
Uh-huh. I assume you'll just kill them.
Well, here's what I told Howard. I said, we have not even submitted the papers to the court yet.
Right.
So for me to tell you my exact plan of how I will kill them would be foolish of me. So I will welcome them with open arms.
But Howard was assuming that you wouldn't be happy about it.
No, I'm going to kill him. But I just can't, you know, be gusting out on the air with...
Why not?
Because it'll be in a court transcript in 2 seconds. This turns less friendly by the minute.
Well, how did it work? Stern's 3 hours ahead of us.
Right.
He starts his show at 6 a.m. in New York time or East Coast time, right? Thus, 3 a.m.
Yep.
Our time. And
camera guy got there at 3:15 this morning.
Got your house at 3:15 this morning.
You know, the other thing that was odd was he kept making reference to, do I have a girlfriend? I said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And made a couple of jokes about her only being 25 years old.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I referenced her probably 3 times, and she was as close to me as Teresa is.
Yeah.
For those of you in radio world, I can reach out and touch Teresa, which I've given some thought. And he never said, oh, really, let's meet her, which surprised me. A 25-year-old girl sitting at the house at 3 o'clock in the morning when I've made sexual jokes and stuff like that. They didn't say, hey, put her on the phone, because he always does that with Gretchen.
Yes.
Let me talk to Gretchen for a second.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
So I was surprised by that, but fairly happy about it, too. I think Amy might have crumbled under pressure.
Was she nervous?
Yes.
Did you prep her?
Yes.
So how does it work?
If that's what they're calling it these
days. They send the camera crew, camera guy over to your house.
Yeah.
He shoots it and it goes on the Howard Stern.
On demand.
On demand.
Which is why I wanted to do it naked.
Uh-huh.
Which they okayed. I just couldn't have an erection, they said.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes, I can, because I'm that insecure.
Right.
And they said, no, we can't show an erect one on demand TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, oh, okay. Then the cameraman set up the shot just in a chair in my kitchen, and I called the producer. I said, I want to do that bit where I'm talking to Howard in bed and get up. And because I had planned a half a second to a full second of full frontal nudity.
Right.
I thought that'd be something interesting that probably most people, even B-list celebrities, haven't done on a show. I was going to get up out of bed, bend over to pick up my pants so I get a good shot of my keister.
Right.
And then as I pulled them up to about my knee, I would turn while continuing to talk to him, exposing
right.
the whole
yeah.
deal and pull
right.
up and just button up casually. But
Alvin Ailey doing some choreography.
I thought that'd be cool. That wow, Bonaducci breaks out full frontal, although I still don't have pubes from that old lady.
Right.
So I'm sure that would be... a topic of conversation.
Right. So they didn't want you to do that? They didn't let you do that?
No. When I called the producer, he said, we should do that, but it was too late. We're ready to go. The guy had spent 45 minutes setting up a chair.
Can I clarify? Mm-hmm. This on-demand show, is it like the E! Show used to be, where it's sort of a simulcast of the radio show?
You know what? I just saw a billboard for it the other day, so I don't even know exactly what it is, but I do know what on-demand movies are. You hit this little... insignia that says movies, and then on demand you get probably 200 choices of movies for $3.99.
Right.
So I guess you get Howard Stern for $3.99.
Except for my house, you get 8 movies. You don't get, you don't seem to get 200.
No, you know,
maybe
you
that's
hit?
Cable.
No, you know what you gotta hit?
Hmm.
Go to, because it'll give you like 20 choices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Movies, kids, family, action. Go to movies A to Z.
Ah.
I don't have that. I just have the Dish Network satellite thing or whatever. Maybe I gotta get the cable going. But the point is you were on the Stern Show this morning.
Yes.
Live.
Yes.
6 a.m.
Not wearing this shirt, though.
Right. He's wearing a pink Lacoste shirt.
No, I'm not.
Although it has
that's
a dog
a
on it.
That's a Victoria's Secret shirt, and I believe that's a woman's shirt.
It is.
Oh. Well, I just call them generically Lacoste shirts.
Yeah, no.
It what
is,
are
yeah.
those?
Any guy.
Polo shirts.
Any guy that would see this would think, oh, he's wearing a pink polo.
Yeah.
Right. Polo
Amy's
shirt.
An underwear freak, and I was early at the Grove yesterday, so I went and I bought her like 20 pairs of underwear.
Hmm.
What is that, though? It's not an alligator.
It's a dog. It's Victoria's Secret dog.
Yeah, they have a new workout line, pink.
I didn't know they had a dog.
Yeah, it's a weird logo for a Victoria's Secret.
It is.
Tomorrow, all right. Tomorrow, if you want, I bought myself as well 2 pair of underwear. And they're the boy cut ones, and yellow with blue stripes. They're like they're kind of like a professional swimmers underwear. They look like that kind of bathing suit, and they're really cute. But on the back, it says University of Pink. And I kind of forget sometimes when I wear girls' underwear, and I go to the gym, and I'll just be talking to the guys while getting ready. And all of a sudden, the conversation just stops. And I'm looking, I got little roses sewn on my underwear. It's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, I've just taken to the midways now. That's my thing.
Not the boxers and not the
Here's the thing about
whitey.
Boxers. I never understood the boxer. The boxer
I hate him.
Is a baggy, billowy sort of sack shower cap you wear underneath your pants. And whose fly is always open.
Right.
Boxers don't have a button on the fly or Velcro on the fly. They just have a open fly.
That you work your way out of.
That you work your way out of, and there's something weird. It's like, you know how you can close your eyes and know when your finger's down your throat, even if it's not touching anything?
Yeah.
You can make yourself throw up by going, Your finger does not have to have contact with any part of your throat, tongue, gums, or mouth to know when it's going down your throat.
Oh, Teresa knows all about
yes.
this. You don't actually have to make contact to barf.
You want to heave, right?
Sure, I want to be a size 4, don't I?
I know when my penis has left the fly, even if it's not making contact with any of the surrounding material.
That's totally
so
true.
So the fly's always open. So your weenus is always out of the fly. Then the next part is the things are baggy.
Right.
And wearing something baggy under something that's tighter than it is.
Right.
So a pair of Levi's are tighter than the thing that's underneath them.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the thing that's underneath them is going to get bunched up and shoved up and wedged up.
I did not think you would know this because you almost always wear sweats or a tracksuit or something. But that's totally right because I wear my jeans pretty tight, right?
Yeah.
Boxer shorts start rolling up around my quads.
Yeah.
And you have this big, thick line around both legs.
Women would never do that. Do you guys know Spanx?
That's why I wear girls' underwear.
We wear Spanx.
What are Spanx?
They're kind of like boxer shaped. They're like shorts, but they suck you in.
Yeah.
Look, the best thing to wear underneath anything is the sort of cycling short type variety of boxers or briefs or boxer briefs or whatever they're calling them. I don't know how boxers. One day, I'm going to commission a study and figure out, A, how passion fruit iced tea caught on, and then B, how boxer shorts caught on.
Yeah.
I wanted to wear boxers when I was in junior high because it was cool.
Yeah.
Cool guys wore boxers.
Yeah.
Their boxers hung out of their jeans or their shorts.
Right.
God forbid if you ever got into a situation where you're going to be doing a little running around with the ladies around the pool or the skinny dipping or the watering hole, you wanted to take your Levi's off and be standing there in boxers.
Right.
If you were standing there in the tidy whiteys, you were on nerd patrol. I tried. Albeit sort of weird, generic JCPenney boxers, but I tried buying some boxers when I was like in eighth grade. I couldn't wear them.
Well, you know what? It is a different time. These, and I won't be weird or anything, but these, I'll just show you the color of them.
Okay, pants are coming off.
No, they're fine.
But he has
these. You know where these are from?
Where?
Target.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Those, you'd call those kind
they're
of
they're sort of shortish.
They're tidy whities that aren't white. They're blue with black stripes. They're just regular untidy whities.
You can get, the point is, ugh, you kids, never been a better time to be poor. I've said it many times.
Target.
It used to be that you couldn't get anything decent at any place other than the good stores. You couldn't get name brands. You could, if you wanted stereo equipment, you could get crappy Chinese knockoff stuff over at Sears, or you could go to an expensive stereo store that your parents would never take you to and get something. It was the same with clothing. It was the same with everything. Now, you just get to go to Target and buy all the name brands. And, they still don't have the very top shelf stuff, but you can even go to a Home Depot and get decent fixtures, lighting fixtures, plumbing fixtures. You used to not be able to get anything but drywall and crappy apartment replacement faucets and fixtures. The ones with the clear knobs that we grew up with in the 70s that were anodized gold. Now, somebody figured out, hey, listen, maybe people going to Home Depot want to get decent-looking lighting fixtures. Everything is still cheap as dirt, but the point is there's nice stuff to be had everywhere now. But the Boxer, I don't know. They're guys that swear by it. They don't offer any support.
None.
They get bunched up. It's really like you taking a couple of garage towels and just shoving them down your pants. It's really like, you know those, the sort of Red Mechanics hand wiping towel about the size of a napkin? It's like somebody, by the time you've walked around for half a day in your boxers underneath your jeans, it's like somebody just took a couple of those hand towels and just shoved them randomly down your crotch.
Right.
Like, you don't know where your sack is. You don't know where your penis is. One leg is rolled all the way up. The other one is coming down. And the back part is wedged up your ass.
Yep.
Yes.
You know what I've always found interesting, though, is girls' fascination with how you walk around with a weenus.
Oh.
Girls always say, I mean, once you know them well enough for them to say such things, how do you walk around with that? Doesn't it hurt all day? Doesn't it get caught in things? It's like, we don't know it's there till it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It just, it's like putting your hand in a glove and there's no big difference. You put on your underwear, you put on your pants, and it just sits kind of casual. But girls, they'll kind of stare at it and ask a bunch of questions about, doesn't it rub and stuff like that. It's like, no, man, it just sits there.
I got to tell you.
It's not a carnival penis. It's just a penis.
I hopped on my unicycle the other day.
Oh, we got to bring those to work into some kind of wacky bit.
I'm all for it. I just hopped on it to try to amuse my kids. And I was aware of the sack when I hopped on the unicycle.
There are times.
Yeah, there are times that unicycle.
Even when you ride every day, because I used to ride every day when I was a kid, there's no time that they're comfortable.
No,
your center balance is essentially your taint.
I remember less sack back when I started seemed to be an advantage on the one-wheeled cycle. Will?
Yep.
What up?
What's going on?
Well, okay, so the deal with boxers is it's all about freedom. They're not constricting. You know, they're freedom. You take them off, you have shorts on. You don't have underwear.
I know, but why not just put thank you. The more you know, why don't you just put shorts on underneath your pants? And here's the thing. Hold on, quiet down.
My wiener is restricted in at least 3 states, so that's important.
And as a restraining order in 4 others from the scrotum, by the way. So it's
a metaphor for life, because sometimes too much freedom is uncomfortable.
Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose.
The boxer short is great if you think you are going to drop your pants at some point during the course of the day, but that doesn't happen as much as I'd like it to or as much as it used to. I pretty much just go to work, keep my pants on, and get back to my car, thus don't need it. You look cool in boxers, but if that's shouldn't be the criteria that you use to choose your underpants.
Right.
And then the freedom part, like people go, hey, man, you're not all bound up. So, well, why wear underpants at all?
I want to be bound
up. Just give your ass a nice wiping and put it in your jeans. Yeah. Why do you need shorts under your shorts?
You need some support. You don't need to be free as a bird down
there. Even when I sleep, I don't like to sleep with nothing. I like to sleep with a panty. I don't know why. It just feels better.
Now, have you gone jogging without a bra ever?
I know. Even with an A cup, you can't.
Okay. That would be what it would be like in boxers or without wearing any underwear. You'd just be flying around.
Absolutely. All right. Boxer briefs, way to go. Or here's the next evolution for the guy who likes to work out and even for the guy who doesn't. The boxer briefs are nice, but they sometimes can just get a little loose and be almost like a boxer or better fitting boxer. Yeah. The next evolution are the ones that are made by like Under Armour or whatever those companies are. They are essentially thin cycling shorts.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are. I have a bunch.
Now, the cycling shorts, a little too much of a commitment. I mean, that's going down your knee and going up to your underarm pits and a little bit too tight. But the, and I think it's Under Armour makes them.
Yeah,
it is a stretchy, slightly tighter boxer brief that if, guys, you're working out, that's your underpants. If you're going to go hit the treadmill or hit the heavy bag, rock those boxer brief, but the tight sport ones.
Yeah.
And I think the difference is you go buy them at the sporting goods place rather than the Bullock's underwear department, if that place still exists.
I'm not positive, but there are certain clues that Gretchen and I are in a very thinly veiled competition to empty our bank accounts before the divorce is final.
Yes.
So just yesterday, I ordered not that much, maybe $150 worth of stuff from Everlast, including that Under Armour shirts as well as underwear, but it says Everlast on it.
Right. Yeah.
Love that Everlast logo.
Great. Great. Well, 100 years, almost 100 years old now. Yeah. But the point is, Under Armour boxer brief thing, workout briefs, way to go.
What we've learned is we all want our privates to be lightly held.
I agree. And
or squeezed and tugged on.
Last tip, as long as we're talking about it, I'll keep a thing of baby powder over on the counter in the bathroom. Give it a nice, pull them trunks out, give it a nice shot, and then snap them shut. I'm off. In a cloud of dust.
This is very interesting.
No, because if you are going to step up the tightness department downstairs, you're going to generate a little extra
moisture.
Heat and a little moisture.
Yeah, who else has got some storage?
Nice shot of the talcum. You get an extra 3-4 wearings out of those shorts.
All right. Long as we're giving quick tips, if you're not as fresh as you would like to be and you're with a new girl, spray on or roll on deodorant in your butt crack really stings.
Oh, okay, so not a good tip.
Don't like pull anything up and go,
all of this almost too exciting to bear.
We need to take ourselves a break. The Deaf Rat Guy did some phone screening for us yesterday. I hear it was nothing short of hysterical. We will go over it. Now, we taped the Deaf Rat Guy doing this. He didn't know he was on the air, and he wasn't on the air, but he didn't even know he was being taped doing it. I think we have it's him trying out to be a phone screen. I think we have a tease for it.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, can I talk to Adam, please?
He's in the bathroom.
Okay, well, I'll hold.
What do you want him to do?
I just want to talk to him. Just for a couple seconds, and that's it, and it'll make my day.
Do you think your day getting made is like the most important thing in the world?
No, I don't think that at all, but
do you think that that my job is to be some magical
elf? No, but why are you
elf?
So mean? You can't be mean to people when they call.
Because I have 4 calls and I'm trying to get this job. And I'm trying to be nice to you.
Started to sound like Schwarzenegger at a certain point there. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Back with more candid calls to the Deaf Rat Guy phone screening on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. Here's what's on deck this morning with our program director, Jack Silver.
Please, Jack, man, don't hurt him. Hey, today we got an interview with Constantine from American Idol. More calls from the Crank Yankers vault. Adam will break down the O.J. Simpson interview from last night. And what can Adam complain about? Ace Man, we talked about this. The show needs more vitamin C. Gooch. Jack Man's gonna come down with a case of scurvy. Wait, let me check the list to make sure I don't already have that. Chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, Legionnaire's disease, scurvy. Ah, damn it.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
I don't know why I was reminded of this moments ago, but I decided to take my dog Molly out for a little walk. Molly. No, last night in the, I should say in the late afternoon, about 5-6 o'clock at night, Molly has switched her food over to some sort of dietetic food, which means her craps take twice as long and she seems to be working twice as hard.
This is amazing.
Yeah, she really gets a look on her face out there. Nah, she's a little husky. I don't care. I like them that way.
I think her fur makes her ass look big.
Yes. The point is I was walking down the driveway with her, and I saw something sort of suspicious looking on the driveway. Looked, you know, sort of like, what's that trash doing there? Looked like a crumpled up cardboard box. Walked up to it. It was about the size of a lunchbox, sort of crumpled up. And I said, oh, it's my super expensive custom doorknobs that look like they've been backed over by a truck. And then I thought, how did this happen? I ordered the stuff. I got it a few days ago. That's right. I handed it to Ozzy an hour earlier, told him, bring it in his truck. He's bringing it out to my other house. And somehow, and it had a bag with about three doorknobs in it, expensive Baldwin, like brass, high-end stuff. Somehow one of them escaped the bag, made it behind Ozzy's truck, and then the truck I co-signed for was used to smash my very expensive doorknob still in the box, and then Ozzy took off, and it made me nervous for the rest of the doorknobs. Sure. But I thought, how does this thing get onto the ground behind your truck without you knowing it? It's daylight. I hand you a bag. It has three or four doorknobs in it. You're going to walk over to your truck, throw it in the back of your truck, and take off. One of them gets behind your truck. You back over it. There's no other ones. There's no other sign of anything else. So somehow one jumped the bag, and then he ran over it in his truck. Maybe it was just a subtle F you to the Ace Man.
Or a Hansel and Gretel move so he could get back home by his trail of doorknobs.
He could find it that way.
Yeah.
It did amuse him when I yelled Ozzy-os when he left. I don't know why he seemed to be amused by that. All right. Well, anyway, I'll talk to him later, and we'll get to the bottom of that. Def Rat Guy. DFG.
DFG.
Maverick wanted to try out for the phone screener job over here. We secretly recorded him answering the phones in the phone screener room, and here's installment number one.
Hell yeah.
Is this Death Rat Boy?
What is your name?
What is my name? My name is Drea, and I just wanted to tell Adam how much I love him, and that's all.
She wanted to tell him how much he loved her.
No, I want to tell Adam how much I love him.
Okay, Drea from Brea?
No, Drea from Hollywood.
What do you do?
I'm an executive assistant.
What do you look like?
It doesn't matter. I don't want to talk about what I look like, although it's not bad. I just want to tell Adam how much I think he is the most fabulous thing on the planet.
Hmm. Can you send email a picture of your bush?
Oh. I'm driving in my car, and I don't have much of a bush to send a picture of.
Hell yeah.
And if Adam could just call me baby doll, I will be the happiest girl on the planet.
I would tell him to call you baby doll. Okay, check you later.
Wait, am I going to get to talk to him or not?
That's
not cool.
What do you want me to do? I'm the phone screen. I'm trying to get a job here. And
I know. Well,
my lines are backing up.
I have a really good idea. If you let me talk to him, maybe I could somehow negotiate a job for you.
Negotiate what job?
Maybe I could talk him into it.
Okay.
If you want to be a phone screener, maybe we need to talk to Adam about that and maybe convince him a little more.
What kind of skirt are you wearing?
I'm wearing a brown skirt.
Jesus. You don't have a cell phone camera?
I do, but I'm on my phone right now.
Just go down and just click a snap a picture of your bush and email it.
Like I said previously, I don't have a lot of bush, so there's not much to take a picture of. I just want to tell Adam how fabulous I think he is. That's the only reason I'm calling.
Okay, hold on.
Wow. I didn't know he was going to be that unprofessional. See, the thing about phone screener is you're not a phone sex operator. You're not supposed to keep people on the line. As a matter of fact, it's exact opposite. Yeah, the phone sex operator gets paid by how long you keep someone on the line, and we pay you by how many people you can mow down per minute. Yeah, he spent two, three minutes talking to the same person about nothing.
No, and in some ways, doing a poor imitation of my part of this show.
Yeah.
If somebody's going to ask for a picture of someone's beef, it's going to be me.
That's true.
You know, I don't need the phone screen. You know, having this girl say, so you ask how she is and call her baby doll. And Teresa says something like, well, you know, she's probably an executive. Maybe you shouldn't call her a baby doll. And that's when I say, hey, why don't you send a picture of your beef? There's the Adam Carolla show right there.
He clearly.
And then when she says, oh, deaf frat guy just said that, I look like a loser.
He clearly has stolen your beef thunder.
Yeah, exactly.
Beef thunder. Good name for like some Australian guy.
It's actually semi close to a nickname I have for Amy.
Okay. No.
Turns out we can't say that.
No, it's just, yeah.
I thought it was cute.
Let's see. Let me punch up whoever's.
Who's Leo. On?
Hey, Teddy, free up line one, would you please, champ? Let's see. Leo?
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Adam?
Yeah, hey, what do you have to say for yourself?
I'm happy that you guys got rid of Kyle.
Why? What was wrong with Kyle?
Who's made these calls?
He was a punk, man. I called a couple times before when he was there, and he never let me get through, and I always wanted to say hi to you. And you know.
Can I tell you something in all honesty, sir? And I really don't mean to be rude to you at all, but when people call up and just say, I want to say hi, do you know that there's probably 300 a day, and that's all the show would be is people going, hi, Adam, I think you're great. I used to listen to you on Loveline. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't really be a show.
Kyle was
just saving.
Maybe Leo has something really groundbreaking to tell Adam.
Well, I just, you know, I like G. Teresa, too, and I mean, it wasn't about just saying hi. It was
how
like,
dare
I
Kyle wanted... not put you through?
What else? This is riveting.
This is great.
No, I mean, I was like, I wanted to say something about whatever you guys were talking about.
I see.
And he never let me through, so I never got to say what I wanted. You know, whatever you guys were talking about, I wanted to comment.
Mm-hmm.
And he never let me through, so that was about it.
Okay.
But yeah, you guys are the bomb, and I listen to you guys every morning over here in Sacramento.
Thanks, Leo.
Thank you so much, Leo.
Good times. What are you doing? Do you do something involving a forklift?
Not really. I drive a truck at midnight scanning plates over here at the airport.
Oh.
Hmm. You mean
scanning plates for like terrorists?
I'm sorry?
No, you drive around the airport parking lot?
Yeah, I take the picture of the license plate, uh-huh. And then they, if you lose a ticket over here or something,
right.
They, I look it up.
Uh huh. And you say it's a truck, but it's a golf cart, right?
No, it's a Chevy Silverado.
Oh, okay. Mm. Good times. That's right.
All right.
Like a rock. Like a stump.
Well, do we have more of Deaf Fright Guy?
Dumb as a stump.
Do we have any more of Deaf Fright Guy's
screen? Oh, yeah, I think we do. Let's see. We have him asking the same chicks. He's talking to the same. Oh, it's a continuation of the
Bush.
Same chick.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where is your work?
In Century City.
In a big building?
In a huge building.
What floor?
It doesn't matter what floor. It's at the top. Can I talk to him or not?
I don't know where he is.
Well, can you find him?
I see him, but...
He's probably right in front of you. Well, wave to him and tell him there's a call, and there's somebody who wants to talk to him and tell him how fabulous he is.
But what if you're some psycho? I'm supposed to screen the
I'm
call.
Not a psycho, I promise you. Far from it.
What do I do?
Just put me on hold and transfer transfer the call to him.
Okay, but I don't know how to do that.
Okay, there's probably... What type of phone system do you have?
It says phone or something.
Does it say North Star?
No, it says clock.
Is there any buttons that say TRANSF?
Who?
Or is there a button that says transfer?
This is like a different phone system.
Maybe there's a button that says transfer or it says Adam on it, and then you dial his extension and it'll transfer me to him.
How do I put this lady on the air? Hey, what's in it for me?
What's in it for you? Just being nice.
Just being
nice. Just nice.
The reason I ask you...
People don't have to necessarily always get something out of anything, you know, just... Be nice.
I asked you what floor you were on because I was giving you an opportunity to get a chance to talk to Adam.
What floor am I on? I'm on the 11th floor.
Well, tell me and we'll coordinate the time. I want you to press your ass cheeks against the window.
Okay, well, I'm not going to press my ass cheeks against my office window because that's gross. I'd have to look at the prints all the time until somebody came and cleaned the window.
I'll clean your window.
Yeah, I bet you will. Can I talk to Adam or no?
I don't know how to transfer you.
Okay, well, it's probably pretty easy.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, we didn't really line him out on the equipment, although it's pretty straightforward. This is Def Rat Guy auditioning for the phone screener job, if you didn't pick up on that one. We're still looking for a phone screener. Yeah. We have it narrowed down to a few people, not including the Def Rat Guy, because, well, it'll be evident when you hear this next one.
Baby?
Yes?
Okay, they're on the air right now.
Okay, well, I'll hold until it's time to talk to Adam.
Do you think I can just let you talk to the ace man?
Yes, you can. You have that power, right?
I have to screen your call. What are you going to ask him?
Okay, you know what? If you tell Adam that I'm calling because I for Adam worship, I'm sure he'll want to talk to me.
Me too, baby.
Hello?
I don't want to lose this job before I get it.
You're not going to lose it. We'll talk to him about that as well.
But you're just going to kiss his ass?
No, I'm just going to tell him how fabulous I think he is. I'm not going to kiss his ass. I just think he's fabulous, and I love listening to him, and
Listen, I hate to do this to you, but get lost.
Oh. No, don't hang up.
See you later, baby.
No, don't hang up. Hello?
What?
Please don't hang up. Please just let me talk to Adam.
You're a really nice girl. I mean, but I can't... Look.
Why can't you just let me talk to him?
Because you're clogging up the teeny D-line.
Well, why don't you just transfer the call and I won't be clogging up the...
Because I told you, he's on the air.
Wow. Okay, I know he's on the air, but you know what? If you put me on hold or you just transfer the call, I'm pretty sure there's a button that says transfer on that phone.
There's not. I told you, don't screw my feelings.
Don't get upset.
School your feelings.
That's what he said.
Try to teach your feelings.
And I'm sure, and you can tell him what line I'm on, and then he can pick it up.
Hold on.
Well, now, evidently, she finally made it onto the air.
I'll be back.
I know when he gets angry, he sounds like the governor. She made it on, and this is how that went. All right, and Andrea, by the way, on line five is calling to say that, yes, Andrea?
I just wanted to tell you how fabulous that I think you are.
You're talking about me?
I'm talking about you.
Oh, on
you
here.
Adam.
Oh, thank you. Up here it says you think Maverick is doing an awesome job answering the phones.
Well, that was the only way that he would let me talk to you.
So, right. Andrea, you're a big fan of Adam?
Well, he was so mean to me. All he wanted to do was be mean. And I was like, look, if you're nice to people, then they'll tell Adam you're doing a good job, so you have to be nice. And he was very good. He took direction quite well, I must say. But that's not why I'm calling. I was calling to just tell you how wonderful I think you are. And
thank you, but I can't take that kind of praise. I thought you were going to heap it on Maverick. This is his moment. Yes, simultaneous moment. Mm. Well, maybe we'll bring him in just for kicks, but I don't think he could go full-time with this.
He doesn't have the temperament.
No, he has what is unfortunate, because I suffered this for my first several years in radio. He, like all men, thinks with his weenus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you get a girl on the phone and you start doing the what are you wearing and stuff like that, because girls that love Adam, this is like essentially, how can I put this politely, giving a to the roadie so you can get to the band.
Yeah.
Adam is the band. The guy on the phone is the conduit. You can give a to the phone guy and he'll get you to Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? Yeah. There's a book, I think, actually called I'm with the Phone Guy.
Yeah,
he's trying to, he's an opportunist.
Yeah, exactly.
He's trying to get himself and insert himself into something. He needs to be the traffic cop, not the guy driving the car.
Yeah.
He wants to jump in and start racing around in the car.
And I don't know if it's appropriate for him to ask people to take pictures of their bush with their cell phone and send it to him.
Right. Although that was a direct order from Jack Silver. So that one really... That's not his fault. I saw the post it in there.
You're right.
All right.
Well,
it came right off of, said from the desk of Jack to your cooch. It actually said
that. It actually said that.
Yeah, that's what his post it say. From my desk to your cooch is what it says. And then there's a room to write a little something in between.
Who's in the running now? Do we have Steve, our Korean?
We have Korean Steve. We have Teddy. Teddy, you know what Teddy's like? Teddy is like...
It rubs lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told.
Teddy's like the super creepy, quiet backup quarterback on your team. You have the star quarterback. Yeah. And the star quarterback, the guy you gave up 3 first-round drafts for 2 seasons ago, goes down with a horrific knee injury.
Right.
So you give the nod to the backup guy.
Yeah.
Now he places the lotion in the basket.
But you look at the backup guy as just a placeholder.
Sure. Right.
He's going to stay in there and just go out there and hand that ball off, see if we can split the next 4 or 5 games before we get the next superstar in here to take over the team. But as it turns out, the backup's starting to win a few games.
He can throw. He's got a nice arm. He understands the offense we're trying to play here.
An arm like a cannon.
That's right. This is a, Tom Brady, Roethlisberger type situation.
Oh, I was just thinking that.
You're just thinking that. Starting to win a few games.
Yeah. Now we don't know if we want to get rid of him.
Oh, shocker to the Bonaduce, I'll tell you that right now.
Now, we're still pretty sure we'd like to get rid of him. Ever since we found out he shaved off his creepy hair and fashioned it into a merkin, which is one of those things we brought up a few weeks ago. You have
and
to look
in a
up.
Chilling twist, he made love to the corpse.
Now, we're talking about Teddy used to have really creepy hair.
Yes.
And quiet guy plus creepy hair equals weirdo.
Right.
I agree.
Quiet guy plus nice hair equals shy.
Yeah. Or even interesting, though, or even
no, that's
egotistical.
That's quiet. No, interesting is quiet guy, nice hair, and cool frames on your glasses.
Yes.
That equals interesting.
Because I hated those guys like in high school that didn't do anything, and they were totally cool. They didn't dress special. They didn't talk to anybody, and they were the coolest, and they didn't do anything.
The thing is if you have anything crazy about you, whether it be your hair, the way you dress, or whatever your idiosyncratic behavior is, if you have any of that about you and you don't open your mouth, we'll assume you're a homicidal maniac.
Right.
What you need to do is if you're a big biker guy and you're all tatted up and you have the big beard and the long hair and so on, the aggressive piercings and so on and so forth, you come into work, you chat everyone up, and everyone goes, oh, Big Dirk, he's a sweetheart.
Sweetest guy.
He's a teddy bear as opposed to we're all scared assless of the guy with the biker beard who doesn't talk.
Let's call him Tiny. He's so cute.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's what you want. So all you people out there with the crazy hair or the crazy whatever you're giving off visually, you need to...
Makeup?
You need to sort of... Yeah. Well, not really makeup, but what it is... We're looking at you, and you're looking like a dog that's going to bite.
Right.
Yeah.
You should come over wagging your tail and lick us once, and
exactly.
We'll go, oh, I see.
He's
but
friendly.
You know who I hate is the aggressively pierced, and you know I like a bigger woman. I just happen to be married with a stick person, but I like a substantial person.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking 250 pounds here.
Mm-hmm.
The 250-pound girl is only 5'2", tatted up, radically pierced, and she's mean. And you know it's blatantly because she wants you to not like her because of her attitude rather than the way she looks. You ever run into a girl, you try to be nice to her, and she's like this big girl, she's just an ass right away, so you won't like her first?
Yeah, it's a sort of preemptive strike.
Yes, exactly right.
She assumes or fears you're going to reject her based on her physicality, but she gets you to hate her for her personality.
Right.
And you still wouldn't F her with a 10-foot pole, but she can go home and
say she blew you up,
drown herself in a pile of Pop-Tarts and cry herself to sleep with the knowledge of you don't like her because, oh, that's not the reason. Because of her personality, not because of her ass width.
Right.
All right. Interesting insights, Bonaducci. Yeah. We need to take ourselves a break.
Since 3, dude. I'm ready.
What can Adam complain about is what we're doing next. Teddy, put on your phone screener hat or anything that'll cover that hair. No. Teddy's hair is fine now. As a matter of fact, I'm now looking at Teddy's hair and thinking, wow, no problemo.
By the way, if you want to go and see Teddy, he's on, he put himself, because I was asking him for computer help.
Mm-hmm.
He's like my number three best friend in the world. Under T Editor, I think he put his name.
Mm-hmm. So you can go to AdamCarolla.com and see what Teddy's haircut looks like. Yeah, he is. Sorry, under T Editor. Best friend.
Justin, he put himself as one of my best friends ever.
You know, I'm so old school. When I hear best friend, I just think best friend. I don't think of the MySpace version of best friend.
I refer to Amy's iPod as a Walkman all the time, and it makes her laugh and roll on the ground and call me old man.
What are you listening to on your machine?
What are you listening to on your Walkman? And it kills her. It kills her when I say that.
You got some wax cylinder recordings of your kinfolk or something? All right, we need to take a break. What can Adam complain about? 866-901-ADAM. You call in, try to stump me. I'll figure out a way to complain about it next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. It's time for a little What Can't Adam Complain About?
Adam, you cannot possibly complain about photosynthesis.
I wish there was a way we could shut down photosynthesis when we've had enough. My gardener was cutting my hedge. And it seemed like only yesterday I was staring at the hedge yelling, grow, damn you, grow. And then I blink my eyes and it is strangling and raping my wife. And I think, please stop growing. The problem is plants are in two modes for me. They're in, hey, why won't you grow? And then they immediately go to, hey, quit growing.
What can't Adam complain about? Find out now at 866-901-ADAM on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it's all relative, kiddies. And
I can complain about my relatives.
Yes.
No problem.
Do the first 2 hours of every show on that. I can complain about anything.
Yes.
It's what makes me me. And doesn't matter, by the way, it's not something I leave at home when I go on vacation.
Yeah.
Oh, I know this about you.
Yeah. Remember in We Are the World where it said check your ego at the door before the big celebs came in and made the money for the kiddies over there in Biafra or wherever the hell they were? I can't do that.
That's the chick on Maud.
B. Arthur.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I cannot check my complaints, whatever. When I get on an airplane, they get on with me.
You know what?
Yeah.
You're not actually, it's funny, you're not that hard to figure out. If you take, like, the American Genius thing and you just buy it, you just say, okay, he's one of the smartest guys I know, that's pretty easy. But if you took the first semester of Psych 101, you know some of Adam's frailties.
That's right.
There's nothing special about Adam's neuroses. They're just the kind of neuroses you would think regular people have rather than people like Adam. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, and he's better at articulating them, perhaps, than the average person.
And that's interested in hiding them.
Well, earlier today, yes. For example, you were able to complain about your very expensive doorknobs, which were run over by one of your slaves.
That's right.
Wow, you're good.
Remind me to give him an extra beating and short him one ration of gruel.
Wow. Please have some more.
No.
Oh, there's some good calls coming in. I'm excited to hear today's complaints.
Ozzy came over last night. Ozzy is a great noisemaker. As a matter of fact, all the folks from Central, South, and Latin America in general, they're better noisemakers than we are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. Well, I'll put it to you this way. Every Latin guy I ever worked with could whistle at 500 decibels and could be heard from several miles away. So when you're on the construction site and the guy starts backing out the cement truck and there's a guy who's listening to his iPod and he's down doing some measurements and the guy's going to back him over, all the white guys are like, dude! And the guy's still happily going about his way. But the Latin guys are like, they're doing this piercing. It's cutting through the fog. And it's this ear piercing. And it just pow. And everyone just turns and looks. And the guy driving the truck stops. If the lunch truck is getting down the street and one guy didn't get his breakfast burrito, he was up on some scaffolding, pow. Yeah. Five guys will just shoot him with that whistle and everyone will turn. Ozzy can do that, as can all Latin guys. I don't know if their mouth is if it's shaped different or it got changed by the long neck beer bottle they were sucking on since the fifth grade. I don't know what happened, but Ozzy can do the cluck cluck sounds and the ka-kunk sounds and the whistle sounds. And of course, when he comes in, he's just one big party for my kids.
Yep. Right.
He just walks in the door, starts making his cluck clucks and his whistles and everything, and they immediately drop whatever they're doing. They want to see what the funny short stocky guy making the weird sounds are. And then he comes up to my son, Sonny, and he goes, conk, conk. And Sonny smacks him with his forehead. He headbutts him. He's taught young Sonny to
headbutt.
And then later on,
that'll
he
come in handy.
Backs over my expensive door hardware at the driveway. All right, where were we? What can Adam complain about?
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
Kenny!
Hey, good morning.
Topic, please.
Oh, really quick? Said he's doing a good job. You hire him.
Kenny.
I bang you so hard your first three children would stutter.
Thank you.
Yeah, Adam, good time, Shecky. Yeah.
You cannot complain about body armor.
Body armor. Well, the thing about I can complain about body armor is I know 100% with my luck and the curse of the Corollas, which was being born, that if I was wearing the body armor, I would get shot in the forehead or shot wherever the body armor wasn't. So as a matter of fact, for me, I wouldn't even wear it because I'd rather get shot in the belly than in the forehead anyway. And I know if I ever rocked the Kevlar, I'd get a bullet right between the eyes. The other thing about body armor that's funny is there seems to be different varieties. There's the one with the little neck thing that comes up, like that quarter inch of Kevlar is going to stop that bullet from going through your jugular. And then there's the one that has the nut protector, the low foul protector built in. I like that one, but I don't need the ladies wearing that one. That's for the fellas. You know, you guys live 7 years longer than us, and you want the low foul protector on the Kevlar? I don't think so. The other thing I don't like about the body armor is I don't like people who don't know how to wear body armor. News reporters wear body armor when they're embedded with the troops like crazy people wear hats. You know when you see a crazy guy with a hat on? It looks like somebody mashed it up, ringed it, stepped on it, had Ozzy back over it in the truck I lease him right next to my doorknob, and then smashed it onto their head.
And I'm crazier than a rabbit's hat.
Whenever you see the CNN reporter wearing the body armor, he's like, I'm here with the 5th Infantry. We're in Baghdad. We're walking through the streets. Every other guy looks like he knows how to wear it. They look like somebody dropped it onto them and then took the helmet, put it on them, and hit them on the head once with a golf club. And they walk around sort of swimming in the stuff, looking like it's too big, looking like it's not fitting. It looks like an ill-fitting life preserver. I'm just saying, you know what it's like? It's like when you see a cheap sports movie and you see a bunch of extras who are supposed to play football players, but they're really just fat guys who've never put a football uniform on before, and you can tell it's what makes you a human being. You can tell almost immediately that guy never has worn a football uniform. Body armor saves lives, but for the Ace Man, I'd rather go. You know what my body armor is? It's a Bible, and it's put in the breast pocket.
Yeah.
You are the crown prince of complainers.
Of my blazer. Thank you very much.
Wow. When an atheist goes with the bullet in the Bible, you know he's talking some stuff.
Let's talk to, let's see, Randy over here. Randy?
Hey, what's going on? There's no way you can complain about a nice, clean porta potty.
Clean porta potty. Well,
in the morning, too much coffee, dude. There's nothing better than a clean porta potty.
Well, let me say this about the porta potty. You know, we're in a very technically advanced society, and I've been studying porta potties damn near my whole life. Coming from the valley, working construction, I've probably gone more in a porta potty than anywhere else. First things first, people need to know about the porta potty or the porta sand, depending on whether you're East Coast or West Coast. Porta potty will be 30 degrees hotter than whatever the ambient temperature is outside. It is essentially the box that Cool Hand Luke went to die in. And you mix that with fecal matter, and it's 105 in Chatsworth, except for it's 135 inside the porta potty. Look out, nose. You got yourself some trouble. But here's the thing about the porta potty that makes me angry. I am happy when we make advancements in technology, but my next thought is why didn't we think of this 20 years ago? The porta potty was around for its first 90 years with just one hole to go in. Number one or number two. Now, 90% of the guys that use the porta potty are going number one. Most people aren't going number two. They'll wait until they get home. But you would go number one into people's number two, which did not make a happy three, because the view ain't good when you're standing over the pot of perdition that is filled with fecal matter. Somewhere
somehow, about 10 years ago, somebody decided perhaps if we take essentially a gallon plastic milk container, cut it in half, we go ahead and put a couple of tech screws in it and put it to the side wall and put 3 foot of garden hose, people can go number one and not have to stare into the bottomless pit of number two, as well as smell what comes up from that horrific crock pot, the devil's crock pot. The point is I love the porta potty. I love this idea, but as I'm urinating into it and praising it, I'm thinking to myself, I have gone a tanker truck worth of wee into the crock pot because somebody couldn't put 10 minutes and 50 cents into materials into this for the last 80 years. So, porta potty, good invention. The urinal within the porta potty, an idea whose... Wait, an invention. An invention that came too late. Sadly, wow. For the Ace Man. I think they invented it the day after I got out of construction.
Good times.
Let's talk to Chris. Chris?
Hey, how's it going, Adam?
What can't I complain about?
You can't complain about the Recyclerola.
The Recyclerola.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Hung by her own petard.
I am going to be very, very honest with you on this one. Most of my life, and I think the Recyclerola would illustrate most of how my life works, which is I did not name it the Recyclerola. Kimmel named it the Recyclerola, but I built a chute in my kitchen that shoots the bottles into the recycling bucket. And the reason for that is I'm very crazy about recycling, and I go through a fair amount of wine bottle, beer bottles, soda bottles, whatever. If you have any family of any size, yeah, you will. And the stuff will pile up on the kitchen counter. And even if you bring it out every 3 or 4 days, there's always perpetually going to be 18 to 20 soda cans and beer bottles sitting on the counter. So I said, why not fire them down a chute? Just open a cupboard, just a piece of 4-inch PVC pipe, pow, right out the thing and into the little recycling receptacle. I built one in when I did my kitchen. I built one into Kimmel's when I did Kimmel's kitchen. And I built one into a house I built and sold, and everyone seems to like it. I am completely and 100% serious about this. It has been one of the better moves I've made in the last 5 years of my life. Every time I bring it up to someone, they start laughing. And it's like the same thing when I start talking about red light arrows or any of my other inventions or any of society's problems I want to remedy. About halfway into it, people start laughing. And I realize, you don't take me seriously. You think I'm a dork. And there's a weird thing like... I don't instill confidence in people. Whenever I told people, they go like, how'd you meet Kimmel? I go, I used to be a boxing instructor. I just start laughing, and I'd go, why, wait a minute. I was good at it. And they'd start laughing halfway into it and realize, just like the Recyclerola thing, it's great to be a comedian. It's great to have people think you're clever. It's great to make people laugh. But when you're seriously illustrating a point and they're laughing, then you just became the boy who cried joke. And nobody takes you seriously anymore. I am deadly serious about the Recyclerola. I would love it to be my legacy. I would love it to be built into every new home in America, and I know there'd be 40% more recycling going on. You've made recycling fun again, but yet people are too busy laughing to ever do it. Sad. Very sad.
That was beautiful, but if I could add the tiniest caveat.
Sure.
I understand people laughing at you when you're serious. That can drive you crazy. Mm-hmm. But when they, how'd you meet Kimmel? I was his boxing coach. Mm-hmm. They're not laughing at you.
Oh, really?
You're laughing at Kimmel boxing.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's not you, man.
Well,
that's the first thing I thought. Kimmel boxing.
He is a horrible boxer. And as I said before, the very first joke I ever told on the radio was when the guys, Kevin and Bean, were hosting the show and they interviewed me as the boxing instructor. And they said, how's he coming along? How's he looking? You have a good nickname for him? I said, well, we thought about the Italian tornado because he's Italian. He's also was from Brooklyn, so we thought maybe the Brooklyn assassin. And then we saw him. Then I saw him get in the ring and go a few rounds, and I just settled on Jim.
That's a good joke.
And not with a Y either. All right, let's see. Let's do one more. Let's talk to Marcos. Marcos?
You can't complain about sports gambling.
Yes, I can complain about sports gambling. A, because I lost $9,000 to Dave Damashek last season. But B, because it should be legal. And this whole thing about gambling and this whole thing about anything that's legal, imagine, as I've said many times, in order to shine some clarity on any topic you're talking about, I always just say, picture yourself talking to aliens or talking to people from 1,000 years in the future, if in fact we haven't killed ourselves with greenhouse gases. If I'm talking to aliens and they're saying, what is this gambling? I say, well, you give money and you get this and you make a guess and they do that. And they go, oh, all right. And is that legal or is that illegal? And you go, well, the part where you can go down in your house slippers, your bathrobe, and take your government check and hammer it and go wait in line and hope that you have a 1 in billion chance of getting it. The stupid, retarded form of gambling known as the lottery. The one that ironically gives half the money to the school system, whereas everyone who supports it hasn't gotten past the ninth goddamn grade. It's the antithesis of the school system. Nobody educated gambles, but yet they still perpetuate this myth. That's fine. And the part where you go and you bet on the horse, that's fine. And the part where you go down to the city of commerce and some guy from some part of Asia that you've never heard of says you can play Pai Gao Pan, whatever, and the only deal is you're not gambling against him, you're gambling against the house, but you got to do it standing up, and you have to break off a table leg and put it in your keister. That's legal, but blackjack's not legal, but gambling on football isn't legal, except for you can do it if you cross this imaginary line in the desert, and he's going to go, are you guys high? What are you talking about? You're going, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why this form of gambling is bad or inherently evil, and that form of gambling is cool, and this is going to corrupt you, and this isn't, and this is going to ruin your children, and this is a slippery slope, and this is an addiction, and somehow playing the lottery isn't. The government sponsoring the dumbest, most retarded form of gambling, giving stupid people the worst message you can give stupid people, which is, hey, dummy, this is your only shot. You're never going to get out of that crappy apartment. You're never going to get off government assistance. You're never going to get an education. You're never going to get a skill. You're never going to be able to make your own way in this life unless the stars align and somebody smiles on you. That's your only ticket, loser. That is the worst message a government can send its constituency, yet it's the only legal form of gambling we have. And anytime anyone wants to know where the government's head's at, just think about the lottery. Just think about the hypocritical, corrupt mess. And by the way, the school systems, I see the news that the Super Lotto jackpot, whatever, is up to a record high. It's $500 million this week. So, of course, all the tards get in a line around the block, and it takes me 45 minutes to buy a goddamn six-pack at the store. So all the idiots are going out because they're going to hit it big with the $500 million Lotto jackpot, whatever. Meanwhile, the next story on the next page of the newspaper is school systems crumbling. L.A. Unified especially, unusable. There's nobody I know that makes any money, that has any intelligence, that has a modicum of respect for their children, that would dream for a hot second, for a fleeting second, to send their kids to LA Unified School District. So evidently, all this money you're raising for the school system is not working out, you hypocrites.
Wow. Wow.
Thank you.
Compassion.
That was What Can't Adam Complain About?
Anyone who buys a lottery ticket's an idiot. It's the worst message you can send to you, to your kids, to anyone. You are sending a horrible message to yourself when you buy a lottery ticket. You are saying, I'm a loser. I will never get out of this hole called life, yet this is my shot. I won't buy it just because I don't believe you should send horrible messages to yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
You need to, you're really, in life, you're your own therapist, cheerleader, guidance counselor, motivator, trainer,
right,
sponsor. You're everything to you. And when your counselor, how would you like it, by the way, if your motivational counselor, your life coach, your school counselor, your whoever, went out and bought lottery tickets?
Or told you should.
better yet. Your school, yes. If you want to go talk to a guidance counselor and you said, look, I'm not sure what I'm good at. What do you think? And he said, here's a buck. Go down to 7-Eleven and hope you're lucky, son. That is the worst message. Could you imagine if you were a guidance counselor, ironically working at somewhere in the LA Unified School District, which is unusable. But if you, in fact, and they've just become parole officers now, but if you, in fact, were a guidance counselor and you told your students, go buy a lottery ticket. One guy came in, he was bound for Stanford, and you said, looking good, see you in Stanford. But the next guy came in, and you said, buy a lottery ticket. You would be fired.
Yeah.
You would be fired for that advice. And the reason you'd be fired is because that would be a put down. You don't tell an 18-year-old kid to go out and buy a lottery ticket.
You're best suited for lottery buying.
Waiting in line in a house coat and slippers and scratching your ass.
That was What Can't Adam Complain About?
I just want you guys to dig the hypocrisy of if I got a job as a counselor, a guidance counselor at the school that gets the money from the lottery ticket. If I told all my students, go buy a lottery ticket, I would be fired.
Right.
Right.
That's why you should.
Nice job, retards. We'll take ourselves a break. T.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news?
Well, you know, OJ gave a very extensive interview. There were no holds barred. He took a lot of crazy calls.
Mm-hmm.
And just a quick review.
What was it on?
It was on this weird network that I had never heard of called MN1.com. It was streamed there, and it was also on a radio station. Fred Goldman had this to say.
You're listening to the ramblings of a moron.
That pretty much explains it, but I'll play it for you.
That wasn't Dennis Miller.
I swear to God, that's what I thought.
Talking about Newt Gingrich?
Fred Goldman.
You're listening to the ramblings of a moron.
I'm telling you, we got to put that up against some Dennis Miller. Find a Dennis Miller drop.
I'll work on that.
Hold on.
We're going to break down. I got to fire a call screener.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
You're listening to the ramblings of a moron.
I'm going to break down. I got to fire a call screener.
Speaking of call screening.
Dennis Miller, smash up.
It's pretty good. But speaking of call screening, a lot of calls got through to OJ that the call screener might have screened out. And it's hilarious.
All right. Well, we'll listen to that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Wanted by local police, the Big Banana Bandit.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I'm going to play you guys. I've got to tell Angie to go find this on CNN. I was watching CNN this morning, as I always do, about 34 minutes into the broadcast, and saw a story. I'm not going to say it yet. I'll have Angie go pull it off, but when you hear the story, you will picture what I was thinking when I was watching this and think, oh my God, it's now come full circle on the Ace Man. I mean, it's like somebody made a news story to piss me off.
Really?
Yeah. So one of my top five rants, raves, and beefs of life in the news, don't try to guess it. I'll just play. Right. I'll go find it, and we'll play it a little bit later on in the show.
You're listening to the ramblings of a moron.
Swear that's Dennis Miller. All right, T, your news now, baby doll.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Well, when Fred Goldman was describing the ramblings of a moron, he was talking, of course, about O.J. Simpson, whose murder trial ended 12 years ago. Now, last night, O.J. Simpson went on a financial news website called MN1.com. Quick correction, that is just a website, not a radio station. It was shown live streaming video at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Time. It was hosted by a woman named Kate Delaney. And it was interactive. Kate Delaney, Emmy Award-winning journalist Kate Delaney. I'd never heard of her either. You could call in. You could instant message. It was a live discussion. And one thing about this interview, the questions were virtually unfiltered. And nothing was off limits.
Nice.
So some of the calls that got through maybe weren't exactly what the callers told the phone screener would be the discussion of the calls. Now, for your pleasure, I've put together a sampling of some of the calls that I enjoyed. Here is OJ taking calls last night.
My kid Chris was wondering, do you think it was a bigger feat to break 2,000 yards in one season or slice two necks in one night?
I'm having a little trouble, Kevin, hearing you.
All right, Alex is listening to us in Ohio. Hey, Alex.
Remember when you played for the 49ers?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you kill Bill Walsh?
Hey, OJ, I had a question for you. You know, with everything that Michael Vick has been going through and being indicted, I was just wondering if you wanted to meet me on the Jersey Shore to do live.
There we go. You know, you're
going to
get jokers, but that's the great thing. It's wide
that's
open.
No,
I don't mind.
A lot of jokers.
Yeah, you know how it is. You kill a couple of people with a hunting knife and everyone wants to razz you.
Yeah.
Right. It's like a roast just because he killed a couple people.
You guys tell me what you think of this. For some reason, I was talking about OJ, not based on this interview, just with a friend of mine last night on the telephone, and he brought up the example of the defense, I should say the prosecution, bringing a Mark Furman up to the stand.
Right.
And then the defense doing a little digging, realizing this guy dropped an N-bomb or two, and basically turning him into a racist because he had to admit under oath that he had used the N-word on several occasions. I said to my buddy, I said, you know, if I were the prosecution, you know what I would have done? I would have said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go round up the first 100 guys I can find that are in the LAPD. Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, all of them. I will then parade them one after the other up on the stand. I will get them to admit under oath that every single guy had used the N-word sometime in the last 3 years. I guarantee you there is not a human being on any police force, but especially the LAPD, there's not a one who has not used the N-word, and that does not exclude blacks.
I was going to say that probably is the top
majority. They probably use it more whites when they have a white partner, not a black partner. Hispanics, and last would probably be Asians. But if you took the LAPD, you went all the way to the very top, the captain, all the way down to the rookies, the newest guys out of training camp or rookie school, whatever it is, the newest guy, every single one of them, down to the goddamn pussy meter maids, every single one of them has dropped an N-bomb.
Oh, I'll bet the meter maids come in right under the black guys using it.
Right.
I bet they say it all the time.
You putting one ex-cop up on the stand to admit he used the N-word, either, if that makes you a racist, then every single member of the LAPD, and I would guess NYPD and SFPD and every BFD, every single thing that ends with a D in it has used the N-word.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
This is why they did a piss poor job.
They really did. I feel bad.
Prosecuting.
I've become friendly with Robert Shapiro.
Yeah.
Right.
And he takes it personally that they didn't do a better job.
Well, when he was in here, I asked him how he felt in retrospect about having won that case, and he said, we didn't win it. They lost it.
That's right, and that's exactly what happened.
And we've turned Marsha Clark and Darden into like Billy Jack or something, some sort of mythical folk heroes. What they did rhymed with folk, and then you put the word up after it, and that's what they did with this case.
No, it's Billy Jack. If he said, let me take this right foot and slap you on that side of your face with it, and there's nothing you can do about it, and you look, and he has no left foot.
That's right.
You know, it's just an empty threat that makes no sense at all. These guys did nothing.
T, one day when you see the movie, you'll understand that reference.
Yeah, I'm so confused.
Now go ahead.
Well, nothing could have been more confusing than the following clip I'm going to play you of OJ trying to explain. Okay, just try to follow me. Now, as you know, he wrote a book, or his ghostwriter wrote a book called If I Did It.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Fred Goldman, the father of murder victim Ron Goldman, has the rights to this book. He plans on changing the name, by the way, to what he hasn't said yet, but If I Did It will not be the name. Now, OJ claims that the National Enquirer, who got a hold of this book, got it all wrong. The National Enquirer said OJ's got to be the killer because only the real killer would know some of the things in this book. Now, OJ's claiming his ghostwriter could possibly be the killer? It's take a listen.
Because I read what he wrote and I saw all of these major holes, all of these impossible things, you know, that was going on. Like the guy came in a Bentley, so that would have been two Bentleys in front of my house. Going through the back gate at Nicole's, that means Goldman, this guy Charlie, and I would have had to have a key to get through that back gate. And all the other parts of the book I would correct. But I told myself, if I correct this, there are going to be people out there that say, oh, look how accurate this is, right?
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, all I need is his blood on the crime scene mixed with a bunch of 911 recordings from prior years and blowouts of her yelling, he's going to kill me.
Well, I think Fred Goldman said it best when he said,
we're going to break down. I got to fire a call screener.
When he said,
you're listening to the ramblings.
I don't even know how to respond. You know, you're listening to the ramblings of a moron. And, you know, he doesn't make anything clear in anything he says. And frankly, nor do I care to listen to it.
More on that later, because OJ had a lot to say. But for now, let's talk about moron. The ramblings of moron later. Speaking of moron, Britney Spears is going to be in both Us Weekly and Life in Style this week. Now, here's a delightful story about Britney Spears as a parent. According to Life in Style magazine, who quotes an insider, Britney smokes like a chimney in front of her two boys, Sean Preston and Jaden James, 22 and 10 months old. And here's what she does. When she misplaces her pack of cigarettes, she turns to Sean and she says, baby, where are mama's lollipops?
Good times.
And then Sean runs and gets her smokes and brings them back to her. According to Us Weekly, she puts soda in their baby bottles, and she spends a lot of time crying and, you know, battling for the kids' love.
She's pulling a Frances Farmer at this point. I mean, she's coming unglued. Yeah. She's coming unraveled. This is stupid hillbilly meets too much booze and pills meets I'm clinically insane.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like there is a pyramid of retardation here that's going to end in tragedy. Now, look, you people have to understand something. No matter how much money these people have, no matter how much spit and polish they put on themselves and how many great angles they're photographed from, at the end of the day, they're short, retarded people from the middle of the country.
Right.
They have no education because they got put in Disney boot camp when they were 11 years old, and they have no social skills or no development because... Is that you, Bonaducci?
Yeah, looking at you going, where's this going, Corolla?
They were raised in a false environment. They were not, you guys, when I say you guys, I mean everyone who's listening and everyone in this room have no idea how much you have been shaped by reality, by a constant pressure of reality. Reality, for the non-Britney Spearses of the world, is sort of like atmosphere. You don't realize it, you don't see it, but without it, your body would come apart.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, the bills, the pressures, the relationships, the when you try to get into a college, they don't know, they don't recognize your name. You must perform, or you must have performed in your high school. Whatever job you're going after, whatever girl or boy you're trying to pick up at the bar, that is the constant pressure of reality. These people have lived in the vacuum of a non-reality for so long that their brains have softened, swelled and turned to mush. So you have a person who's basically from Louisiana and a retard in the first place,
right,
now has not been shaped by any reality over her life other than a false reality. And then you mix a little booze on top of that and you got yourself a problem, son.
Now, where do you file Nicole Richie? Is she filed under
stupid asshole?
Yes.
So look under S.
Yeah, I mean, she may have had a little more education and a little more whatever, and maybe came a little later in life for her, but the same, still the same
she's
thing.
She's rich and she won't eat.
Well, yes. In brief, you can now file her under P for pregnant. She has finally confirmed the worst kept secret in Hollywood. You are listening to Joel Madden of Good Charlotte. That is who's the baby's father. She taped an interview with Diane Sawyer yesterday and told Diane she's almost 4 months pregnant.
Wow.
And as for her upcoming 3 days behind bars, she says, quote, I have a responsibility and it's something I did wrong. And if I could personally apologize to every single person that has lost a loved one from drunk driving, I would. That interview airs in three parts, tomorrow and Friday on GMA and Friday night on 2020.
Oh, I've got bad feeling about the kid thing.
Oh, really? Nicole Richie's kid?
Yeah, first of all, she's not going to want to gain any weight.
Right.
She's probably going to try and get away with 17 pounds.
Right.
Okay? That's not good right there. And when your mommy's that skinny, you grow up, especially if it's a little girl, because you want to grow up and be and emulate your mother.
Yeah.
I don't think this will end well.
I got other bad news about our kid.
Yeah.
It's not Joel's. It's not the good child. It's Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband, Count Tarjula.
Yeah.
From
Prince Tard.
Prince Tard.
Prince Tard.
From Hungary. That idiot.
That's
I'm
the
surprised he hasn't stepped up and claimed this kid.
Oh, there's still time.
Yeah, he can do it.
Well, you wonder, you hear about all these women having so much trouble conceiving, and yet Nicole Richie, arguably on some, has been or is now on some kind of substances, very underweight. I don't even know how she got pregnant.
It took Gretchen and I 4 years to get pregnant because she was so thin. That's what the doctor said is why she can't
Right,
get
you
pregnant.
Stop menstruating.
Right.
Look, there's a very...
No, I don't.
I don't. You know, I don't believe in God. I believe in an evil great magnet, which is the couples that love each other very much and are very monogamous and dedicated to each other, who both have very sound jobs and great educations and great families behind them, can never conceive.
Right.
It's always this sort of toothless, out of work, hillbilly, what have you, who are going on their 18th kid.
Why do you think that is?
The great evil magnet.
Evil magnet.
It's just the evil magnet. It is the one, it's the same evil magnet that when the gangbanger shoots it out with the cop and they both roll into the emergency room, they lose the cop on the, in the OR and the gangbanger's fine.
Yeah.
His, the thing just misses spinal cord by a millimeter and he's out the next day. It's a great evil magnet in the sky. If you're a couple and you want to conceive and you're educated and you make a nice income and you're going to provide a loving environment for your one or two children you have over your lifetime and you cannot conceive, all you got to do is have the husband sock the wife in the face, knock a tooth out, give her a black eye.
Have bad boys play it in the background.
Start drinking, and I'm not talking about light beer. I mean grain alcohol, and have the husband quit his job.
Yep. You'll be knocked up in a minute.
Knocked up in a minute.
Yep.
Well, that's right.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and me and my three remaining eggs are very nervous, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Ah, well, my buddy Ray is coming in a second. We have his reenactments, we call them. Ray and I, not because we were talking about doing it on the air. We were just walking and talking the other day and started going over our junior high experience together. And we both got very angry.
Really?
Really? At who?
At the man, the system, our parents, the teachers. We'll tell you the classes we had. Ray and I had the same teachers in the same classes, although Ray ruled the school.
Right.
Ray was a year older and 50 pounds heavier. He had the bench press record. And one day when I went up to the third floor of the gym where the weight room was over at Walter Reed Junior High, I saw a spindly kid trapped on his back on the floor. And I said, what happened? And I walked up to him and he had a barbell that was over his neck.
Right.
It was about 120, 30 pound barbell, but it was the low barbells.
Right.
It wasn't the big barbells. It wasn't the, you know, it wasn't the two handed ones. It was the big long. Well, yeah, dumbbell, barbell. Right.
Barbell.
It was the barbell. But it had the 10-pound weights that were only about 9 inches high on the side, thus leaving about 4 inches between the ground and his neck, just enough for him to breathe, not enough for him to escape.
Right. And as you know, the barbell itself weighs 45 pounds bare.
Right.
So you throw on a few 5-pounders on each side, and the kid at a buck and a quarter is never getting that off his neck.
And I walked in there, and I said, what happened to you? And he said, what do you think? Ray put me under this thing. I said, where's Ray? I said, I don't know. He left. I said, how did Ray get you underneath that thing? Why didn't you fight him off or why didn't you run or something? He said, oh, he just commanded me to do it. You understand, Ray was so scary that Ray would actually go in, find a nerd, and say, lay down on the floor. Lay down.
I'm going to put this on your neck.
Here's the deal.
Help
either
me,
way,
spot me.
What? Both way, you have two choices. You're going to end up with a barbell on your neck. That's a given.
Right.
Now, you can either end up with a barbell on your neck and no bruises all over your body.
Absolutely.
Or you can just fight me, and then you'll get the barbell on your neck. So that's...
It's hurt with a barbell on your neck versus not hurt with a barbell on your neck.
Right.
But those are your only options.
We'll take a quick break. Plus, wow, I have my CNN clip, too.
All right.
A piece of news that was made for me. We'll do that coming up as well.
He wants Pete on. And crapped in Kimmel's desk. When it comes to feces, Adam's pal raised the best. Loves poop, flings poop. Loves poop, flings poop. Threw his duke on Adam. Yeah, raising Nate. Yeah, raising Nate.
Well, that's true. I like the part where he says he wants Pete on Adam.
You know what
last
I like?
Last week, Pete.
Now, Ray, there was a certain point when bald guy Brian, our sound guy, would play the ape sound, and you, not jokingly, threatened to kill him, and he got scared. Now you don't mind the ape sound anymore.
Those days are about to return, Brian. How's it going?
Ray, feel free to move the microphone in front of your ape hole there.
You've softened. Thank you. Okay. You've softened your stance on the ape sound.
He's gotten used to it. Ray and I were taking a walk the other day. Actually, I was walking my dog Molly and Ray. I was actually walking Ray and Molly, actually. Two chains, but...
they both like to poop wherever.
I just...
okay, Teresa.
I do...
Go on, Queefy.
I do... easy now, Ray. Here's my point. Ray and I started reminiscing about our days. We met in the fourth grade. We ended up going to junior high and high school together, and we started both... reminiscing about the old days at Walter Reed Junior High and thought that would be the topic for today's reenactment. Yes. Oh, Brian.
Sit down, kids. It's time for a story with Uncle Adam's friend, Ray.
Brian, get some maple with you. There you go.
This show's not for kids.
It's a reenactment.
All right, so first, Ray, do you know how to type?
No,
I don't know how to type either. And as Ray and I were walking and talking and getting more angry with each step, you're being generous, Brian. You're being very generous.
Actually, on Mavis Beacon, I think I got up to 8 words a minute.
That's him hitting the backspace to get rid of the mistake.
Now, Ray, in junior high, we had ceramics class.
Yes. Yeah.
We had cooking class.
Home ec.
Right.
We had sewing class. We had agriculture or
agriculture.
Agriculture. So that was Dan Baum's dirt farm.
Yeah.
Right. It was a crazy old.
Those were our core subjects.
There was a crazy old man who looked like Orville Redenbacher, and you got just to stand around and stare at beets for an hour every day.
Or grow radishes.
We had wood shop, plastic shop, metal shop, printing shop,
gym.
Ray had how many classes of yours were gym?
Senior year, I had 4 periods out of 6 periods gym.
So when you were in the ninth grade, you had 4 gym classes and 2 regular classes.
Second through sixth, yeah.
Hey, listen, keep buying those lottery tickets.
Yes.
Mr. Walters gave me a couple of bucks for that.
You want to talk about warehousing? Oh, my God. So I never...
Those were my electives.
Now, look, they didn't know people were going to have... They didn't know that people... I majored in warehousing. I didn't know that they had... And they didn't know that everyone would have a computer on their desk. But still, how much of the sewing did they really think most of the boys in that class were going to capitalize on? And how much...
My mom still has an apron that I made.
Oh, does she?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cross-stitch. It's a nice item. I'll bring it in next week.
Yeah. How much sewing do you do in your daily life? How much have you done since that you sewed that apron? As a matter of fact, I made a pillowcase, and that's the last goddamn thing I sewed. I was 13 years old.
I'll tell you what, you had me in stitches with that queef joke.
Sorry,
oh, God.
Do the monkey noise now, please.
You brought something that you made today, I notice.
This was from Mr. Mallon. This is our cultured marble. Adam speaks of it often. It's a pen holder.
Mr. Mallon taught plastics.
Would you like to pass it on, Teresa?
I'd like to
pass
it around.
Danny, I think it's
break
sweet
it,
that you've kept
break
it this long.
And give
long.
Me that shirt.
Wow. But it's real. I mean, if you saw it at a store, you'd think, oh, well, somebody's selling this.
Yes.
It'd be like with something a retarded kid made, and you're like, you know, buying it for
no,
a good reason.
No, I think it's good.
Oh, thank
it
you.
It is the first project you would make in plastics class. Plastics class. Now, as I've said many times, all the teachers who taught shop at Walter Reed Junior High in 70s were essentially Nazi prison guards. They weren't faculty. Right. They were some of the biggest a-holes I've ever met in my life. And this isn't one of those waxing bitter nostalgic. Mr. Mallon,
they all were.
Mr.
Too.
Mallon is one of the biggest a-holes I've ever met in my life.
Absolutely.
I hope that man is dead, and if he's not, I hope he's living a decrepit life on a pittance and crapping into a bucket. I have no sympathy for these a-holes.
I like them.
Well, how big a dick was Mr. Mallon?
He was.
He was a horrible, bitter guy. And
you wanted to leave right when you got into class, and you couldn't transfer it. You had to ride it out.
Mr. Mal, here's how I knew Mr. Mal was a complete ass.
He couldn't get a drink. Remember, you couldn't go to the water. You couldn't get water.
Mr. Mallon had a drinking fountain, the kind that was sort of tapped into the big trough sink that they had in shop classes. Mr. Mallon gave a very passionate speech to everyone on the very first day of class why you couldn't use the drinking fountain. When you walked into class, you walked in and sat down at your desk. You did not go hover around the drinking fountain. When it was time to work, you worked. When it was time to clean up, it was time to clean up.
And if you weren't sitting, you got a tardy before the bell.
Right.
Oh,
and
wow.
When it was
that
time,
much of a freak.
When it was time to leave, it was time to leave. The point is he had a drinking fountain in his small classroom that you would get suspended if you drank out of. What an ass. I hope he's dead. What a jack. Here's how much I hated Mr. Mallon.
He had a
fairly hot daughter.
Huh.
She was, as far as I can tell, and Ray, you can correct me, the only human being that had a crush on me in high school was his daughter.
Oh, no.
Is it Malik?
She was cute. Mr. Mallon's daughter was attractive, and she had it bad for the Ace Man. And let me tell you something. The pickings were thin.
Right.
Have not existed.
Well,
what are you
was
talking
this
about?
Do you
she was
this girl's
the only
name?
Girl, Debbie.
Her first, no, Stacy.
Stacy. Oh, whatever. The point is there was one girl that liked me all the way through high school, and only one. She was perfectly cute and perfectly acceptable. I was perfectly desperate. And her dad was such an a-hole that I couldn't get past it.
Really?
Really?
I had such a horrible taste in my nether region from dad. My junk had been poisoned by her a-hole of a shop teacher dad that I couldn't get with the one girl that found me attractive in all of North Hollywood.
Dude, you got to step up to the plate. If I found out a hot chick's dad was Hitler, I'd still do her.
Really?
Yeah.
I couldn't.
I'd say your dad's kind of an ass, all that Jew thing. That's pretty
Listen, Mallon doesn't have a good radar for girls that like him. I mean, that's.
You think there were other girls, right?
Oh,
and he didn't notice.
Listen, I know of a pretty well-known celebrity who has had a crush on him for years.
Who?
Natasha Henstridge.
Oh, really?
I know a bazillion girls that have a crush on him.
The species girl?
Yeah.
She's gorgeous.
She's
hot.
Loves Big
what
A.
What makes you think she loves Big A?
First of all, she's my friend. And she speaks incessantly about him.
Mentionitis.
Oh, she's crazy about it.
Now, she's only your friend?
Yeah.
So it doesn't bother you?
No, I love it.
I had a wife who constantly told me how clever he was. And now I have a girlfriend who everything she knows about sex, and by the way, kind of thank you and kind of eat me, comes straight from Adam's voice when she was only 11 through the time I met her. So
what about Gretchen? What's going on with that? Like, hide it or divide it, Danny. What's going on?
Wait, hold on. What does that mean?
Ray wants some. Ray, come on. You're supposed to come in here and tell stories about Walter Reed Junior High.
Wait, can you just explain that? Because I might want to use it later.
Hide it or divide it?
Yeah.
Well, either keep her in the closet or let her out.
She's out. Okay. She's all yours, dude.
Yeah. Be careful what you wish for.
She needs an earner, not a burner.
Yeah.
Ray burns money. He doesn't earn money.
I do need an earner because she needs to get married like yesterday.
Yeah.
That would really make me happy.
I don't do that.
All right. Listen, Nipsey Russell, with your hide it or divide it. We're getting back to North Hollywood High. So, Mr. Mallon, plastic shops teacher, incredible a-hole. I got myself out of that class by saying that the fumes of the plastic gave me headaches.
Yes.
And I got my mom to write me a note saying the toxic fumes from Ray's fake pen set, his cultured marble, were giving me a head rush. And I got right out of that and into a TA-ing, what I thought was a cush job, TA-ing for science. It was just me setting up cow eyeballs all day long. Bunsen burners, which suck. But Mr. Mallon was the plastic teacher. Ray, so you took a full...
semester of him. I think I made four pen sets.
He was a colossal a-hole. And then there was Mr. Gage, who was the metal shop teacher.
Do we hope he's dead?
It would be nice. He was a huge a-hole. And then Mr. Mendez for printing, who I never had. I could just hear him yelling when I walked by his class and realize that guy was a huge a-hole.
Another jerk. And then Mr. Martin.
Mr. Martin, who taught wood shop, who was a colossal boozing a-hole. Mm. Big gin blossom on him.
Looked like Carl Malden, even worse.
That little butt in the middle of his face.
Now you start weaving in the gym coaches, Mr. Walters.
Mr. Walters, I loved him, though.
You loved him?
Yeah, because he liked me.
Yeah. What about...
Can I just say something? Mr. Mallon, Norm Mallon, retired in 2002 after 40 years of teaching. Can I read you a quote, by the way? Not a week goes by that I don't hear from... This is from his retirement. Not a week goes by when I don't hear from or see one of our old shop students and they're thanking us for what they learned in those classes.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Sack of ass.
40 years.
He was horrible. He was a horrible, bitter stump of a man whose life was plastic.
Hey, what's Stacey Mallon up to?
Oh. Yeah, hide her or divide her.
Get on the box.
That's exactly what I meant.
Mr. Nelson was a good egg.
Mr. Nelson was Ricky Nelson's...
brother or cousin?
Cousin.
God, everybody went to school with a Nelson cousin.
Ricky Nelson, he was just as good looking and just as charismatic as Rick Nelson
Feathered hair
and everything. Nice,
really nice guy.
But his niceness was nicely offset by Mr. Saponzi. Big, fat, scary guy. Remember him?
Sounds like a feminine hygiene problem.
What did Mr. Nelson teach?
Gym.
He taught gym. The gym teachers were the scariest of all.
Absolutely. Because they would, there was Mr. Hensley.
Who physically beat up kids.
Really?
And Mr. Hensley would challenge you. He'd look at you and say, one hand behind my back, let's have at it. He'd go to the gang members and say, come on.
Ray, would you ever go?
Well, I knocked him down once. We had a staggered stairwell, and I was running up the stairs to go to the weight room, and he was coming down. I hit him right on the chest, and he fell over. And I was in shock. I'm about to cry. And I helped him up. He goes, carry on, old offer. And I just ran away.
Wow.
Carry on.
Carry on.
I saw him get Mike Reese into a headlock.
Oh, he was scared.
Poor Mike Reese. By the way, Mike Reese is the guy who years later we went to his bachelor party.
Oh, no, come on.
They tied Mike Reese up. Remember I told you at a certain point, bachelor parties turned into fraternity hazing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike Reese got tied. Everyone got into a room. They shut the lights, and they gave everyone a flashlight, which was a mistake. Then they tied Mike Reese up onto a chair and pulled his pants down around his ankles. And the stripper was supposed to do some sort of seductive dance in front of him while everyone shined the flashlight on it. And so Ray took his flashlight and went and whacked Mike Reese in the honker with it.
Oh.
Nice.
At your own bachelor party, you're being hit with a mag light on your dork by stupid Ray when you're tied up to
a
chair.
A great time.
Oh, the good old days.
You'd have a better time at Gitmo.
Poor Mike Reese was walking in the quad, the covered quad, and it was pouring rain, and he threw a milk carton just out onto the lawn, and Mr. Hensley yelled, pick it up, Reese, and Reese sort of looked at him. And he said, pick it up and throw it in the trash can, Reese. And Reese could see how hard it was raining where he'd thrown it. kind of looked at him, looked at the trash can, and gave a psh. I'm not going out there, and started walking.
Miss
Hensley was on his ass, full headlock, choke out situation. I mean, it was really mixed martial arts in the quad.
Right on.
Every single guy who taught shop or taught gym when we would have been sued right out of their profession in 10 seconds in today's environment.
Yeah. Hensley used to rescue people that got lost in the Sierras too. He was one of those guys.
Oh, really? Like a volunteer rescue guy?
Yeah. But he hated kids.
You tell me, Ray. I'm going to give you a list of these guys' names. You tell me who didn't hate kids. Mr. Mallon.
Hated kids.
Mr. Mendez.
Hate.
Mr. Gage.
Hater.
Mr. Martin.
Hate.
All right. Mr. Saponzi.
Hated.
Mr. Hensley.
Forget it.
Mr. Walters, who liked you but hated everyone else.
Yes.
And then there was Mr. Nelson, turned out to be a nice guy.
Only one out of eight.
One out of eight of all the shop teachers and gym teachers. They weren't indifferent about kids. Like, take them or leave them. They actively hated them. They had a disdain for
us,
them.
I
don't know. Tell that to Mike Reese. He's still recovering.
Aww.
That's true.
They're being choked out in the quad.
Remember, he got petitioned too. I think a bunch of parents got together about Hensley. Remember that? There was something circulating, like, please sign this.
The thing that was funny about Mr. Hensley is I used to see flyers up in the gym. It was like, Mr. Hensley's going mountaineering this summer. Go up to Mount Pinia. I said, what? Be choked by Mr. Hensley during this? I can remember that.
That sounds like a good time.
What kind of sadist is going to climb a mountain with this animal?
You know, I think Ray turned out all right.
Yeah.
Listen, that's 15 years of therapy later.
Yeah, he had the, by the way, Mr. Walters had something called the Donkey Squad.
This is
back when you could just openly shame children.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Hey, a big tub of lard.
Yeah, fat guy's tub of lard. And he had the Donkey Squad.
Bonaducci, get to the left.
Back to the Donkey Squad, Bonaducci. He would give minus points. And I would always hear him yelling either at me or somebody else.
Four off!
But Mr. Walters, I wasn't even late. Six off! He'd keep running and you go, no, you can't give me six off. I didn't even, eight off and back to the corral.
You want to go for 10, girl?
You'd have to go stand with the other retarded kids in the donkey
squad. And you'd have to stand there for an hour and you weren't allowed to go breach the line. If you did, you got more minus points. And it reflected on your grade.
Yeah,
and I was in charge of the Donkey Squad, which was a bad mistake.
Now, what made them the Donkey Squad?
Well, your boxers hanging out underneath your gym shorts.
Sure.
Casual shoes.
I would constantly wear my gym locker mate's gym shirt when he wasn't there because I never had mine, but it had Espinoza written on the front. So they knew. And I would wear it inside out, but it was gold instead of green when it was a double-sided shirt. So they knew when it was inside out. And one time, when I got thrown into the Donkey Squad, I was standing out in PE and I was wearing corduroy pants and Espinosa's jersey. And Walters yells at me, go back in there, donkey. Go back in there and put your shorts on. And I was like, my shorts are dirty. I'm just going to play in my corduroys. And he's like, I want to see you wearing your shorts, otherwise you're going to spend the rest of the semester in the Donkey Squad, and I command you to go in there and put your shorts on.
I command you.
So I went in there, and I pulled the shorts on over my corduroy pants and ran back out, thinking I was a smart ass. And thankfully, Hensley wasn't there to choke me out. It was just Walters to yell to get in the Donkey Squad. But Walters loved Ray.
Yeah, yes. I have fond memories of him.
Right, because Ray was the sort of physical specimen of the whole group.
Right.
And Walters, who was probably smart enough to know that he couldn't physically beat the kids, used Ray as an instrument of destruction
upon
the kids. Yes. Why not get one of their own to turn on them? It's not like you can sue Ray. He's in the eighth grade.
My bodyguard in reverse.
So Walters would just go see that skinny kid over there? Go get him, old hopper.
Sick him.
I did have a hit list,
you
which was kind of weird.
You turned on your own kind?
Ray had a hit list.
Hit list the kids he didn't like.
Wait, he gave you
I was supposed
you
to
a
hold
in
check. A little. I don't want to. I guess it's what? Expo facto. It's after the fact.
Statute has run out.
Yeah, gangbangers, stuff like that he didn't like. He definitely
and
told
what did
you
he
to
want
go
you
after.
To, he just said
just
keep
hold
your
them
eye
in check, intimidate them, that kind of thing.
This is a teacher.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Weight room, sure.
We're not exaggerating any of it. These guys were scary, angry men who hated children and hated schools and, for the most part, hated education.
I was 14, about 210.
Yeah, Ray had the bench press record and a license to kill because he had four periods with Mr. Walters, and Mr. Walters just used him like some mafia goon.
Yeah. Now, he was a capo.
I mean, but Mr. Walters did do this when I got in a fight with that banger kid, and then so I got in a fight out in front of the phys ed building. Anyway, so I'm beating this kid up pretty badly. Mr. Walters jumps out, grabs me, says, "Go in my office, old Hoffer." So I go in his office, and they have their own separate office. And Mr. Mallon sees this. Mr. Mallon, who's the plastics teacher, walks up and goes, "Give me old Hoffer. I saw him come in here." He goes, "What do you want, Mallon? You know, get the hell out of here." He goes, "Get like me old Hoffer. I want old Hoffer, and I know he's in here." He goes, "Get out of here. You're out of your jurisdiction," and slams the door on him.
Oh, my God.
Then he drove me home. Because I was afraid of the retaliation. Then the next day, I see the kid. Well, the kid didn't come back to school, but he said his gang was going to get me. And you didn't have no kids that drove cars then. And then a bunch of lowrider kids showed up in cars, and I was just scared. I was petrified. These kids with, like, you know, bandanas and everything else, and they were going to get me.
C-14.
I think the three of us, I'm not sure if the 4 or 5 years between us makes a difference, but do you remember when nobody had a gun?
Yeah. Nobody had a gun and nobody had a car.
Yeah, I mean, you could just fight it. It's like somebody would say something to piss you off and you could just go.
Oh, yeah.
Now, everybody's got a gun.
Those days are gone.
I know.
You'd go down to the tunnel after school, the freeway tunnel.
Absolutely.
Might beat some guy up against the sprayed gunite wall. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. A pox on all of you horrible shop teachers. Everyone but Mr. Nelson. A pox on everyone but Mr. Nelson.
You know they invested in Microsoft the whole time now, and they're all multimillionaires.
I would kill myself if I thought that was true for 1 second.
But it isn't.
All right, quick break. When we come back, I will play you something I saw on CNN this morning that I had to blink and pinch myself. I thought somebody had created this newscast for me.
I can't wait.
One of my top 5 rants of the last 10 years had finally made it into the news. I will play it for you next.
Protect your eyes. You can totally check out chicks' asses and they will not know it. Hell yeah.
Thanks, Matt. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Quick addendum to our last conversation. Ray reminded me that not only did he take 4 classes out of 6 in gym as in the ninth grade, but that he always got there. You would get your grade. He would get an A.
Right.
And then there would be the other 2 categories were cooperation and work habits. And you would get an E for excellent, an S for satisfactory, right, and a U for unsatisfactory. Right. Ray would always get an ASS. They loved writing ass times 4 on his thing. And somebody should have done the ass math before they worked out that grading system. Yeah. Maybe it was the same guys who've done the terror alert system that nobody can figure out 8 years in. But the idea that you can spell the word that you can't say when you're in the school very easily, just give an A and 2 satisfactories and you got 4 asses on every one of Ray's report cards.
Thing. We would get an F if we failed, a U if we were underachievers, a C if, well, I think you get it.
Yeah, I think you can.
There's certain things you can't do. I was just going, I raised my hand as you were starting your story about Ray, because I was thinking when I first met Ray, actually before I met Ray, to be honest with you, I didn't like him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the stories of the poop fling. I don't find that amusing. But I forget how young he was. You know, I don't find that stuff that funny.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've gotten to know Ray, and he's probably one of my favorite people.
Yeah.
Like, that if I was ever in trouble, I would like a guy like Ray on my team. And so I'm thinking, he's really outgrown that. What a great guy he's become. And then I saw him lift your assistant up outside by his underwear off the ground.
He gave Jay a wedgie?
Wedgie, in my day known as a Melvin.
Mm.
But, yes, a wedgie that actually lifted your boy up off the ground as he was dangling
from his underwear. He used to be a Melvin. Yeah.
And I thought, some things shouldn't change.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad. But I'm sorry it's you, Jay. I like you. I think you're
a
great
kid. He may have just been helping Jay, because usually somewhere around 8 a.m. every morning, I command Jay to give himself a wedgie.
Right.
It's part of
being my assistant.
Yeah.
Some folks are idiosyncratic. Some celebrities, they only want the green M&Ms. Yeah. Have you seen the writers on the internet? You know, if you want to work for me at 8 a.m. every morning, you have to reach around and pull your underpants up your butt.
Right, at 9:45, give yourself a noogie.
That's right. So he may have just been facilitating Jay in the 8 a.m. wedgie.
I'm running into that problem just the tiniest bit right now. I got, you know, because Amy doesn't work during the summer. She's a school teacher. I got her on as a personal assistant to me on my television show that starts shooting on Monday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I tell her, get me a cup of coffee and stuff like that, but I can also, since she's my girlfriend as well as my assistant on a lunch break, can I just tell her
right now? Command her to perform oral?
Yeah.
Right. I do it with Jay.
I mean, if I do it myself, which I do, you know, then my assistant should be able to assist me anytime I please, don't you think?
It's called an assistant.
Yeah, exactly. And a personal assistant.
All I know is this is a blueprint for a great relationship.
I think so, too. I don't think this is going to end in flames at all.
What's the difference? You know, they put personal in front of stuff. Like, you have lubricant when you're talking about axle grease, but you say personal lubricant. We know what it's for, right?
Thank you. Right. Don't forget that at your house this morning.
It's personal assistant.
Yeah. I have hygiene issues. She has moist towelettes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Jay, de-wedge yourself and bust out the gardening knee pads. Where was we?
Well, we were talking about
personal knee pads. We were talking about
the story you heard on CNN that was as though it was made personally to annoy you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I must say it was one of those moments where it's something that I'd complained about, something that touches my life on a daily basis.
Yeah.
One of the many
Jay's
things.
Hands.
One of the many
Soft
things.
Hand.
It's gentle caress. When he does that thing where he drags his hand down my cheek backwards, puts his hand backwards.
Let me tell you something, because you guys can't see. Jay is
break.
Not a bad-looking young man.
No. Thank you. Now I can sleep tonight.
And then I start talking, and he does that thing where he holds his index finger in front of my mouth and goes, shh.
Thank you.
No, hold on a second.
Yo, he is
getting weird.
I agree with Teresa that he is cute, but he does not look like good sex to me.
Oh, contraire.
Really?
Wait.
See,
you're in a difficult situation right
actually,
now.
Actually, contraire. I've worked the word rear in a contraire.
I saw you do
that. Let's play some games.
Yeah. Groundling stuff.
All right, this is going off
CNN.
The tracks here. CNN. There is a problem.
Jay has a callus.
It is.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll tell you what. I don't want to give it short shrift,
right,
which is his nickname for me. I'm going to look that up one day. I hope I'm not angry. And we're half hour late. So let's take a break. Let's get back toward on time. And when we come back, the first thing out of the gate is this CNN clip that had me sort of laughing, crying, praying, and pacing all at the same time this morning at 5 a.m. when I was watching it. CNN clip of something that was made for me next.
Okay, now the fun begins.
Huell's Kitchen.
What is it?
It's a true delicacy.
Huell hath no fury.
It looks like regurgitated dog.
And it's just crap.
Mm-mm. If you can't stand the heat,
just stop.
Get out of Huell's Kitchen.
I left Tennessee not to have to eat things like this.
Get it on the stove!
That shows how much we all have to learn about food.
This fall on Fox.
This is going to be interesting.
I'm putting a couple smiley faces at the faces with my TiVo next to that table. Now this story, except for a name from the past, Sam Marvin. Guy I remember from junior high called up, says Ray helped him in a fight.
See,
kid. See, I can't get to my CNN story. Sam?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, what's up, Adam?
What's happening, Sam?
Great. I listen to your show every morning, and the three of you are great.
Well, thanks, Sam.
Yeah.
Sam, Ray saved you in a fight in junior high?
He did. I was coming out of elementary school, and I came seventh grade to read, and all my friends in elementary school went to Madison and Milliken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't know anybody. And I was at recess or whatever that was, the 20-minute break, and I got into it with
nutrition.
Nutrition.
Yes. Nutrition, the ironically named nutrition, where you would drink a gallon of chocolate milk and eat three sticky buns.
How funny.
Wow.
And ninth graders came and started bullying me around. I didn't know anyone. And then they told me I had to meet them at the tunnel after under the
tunnel.
Yeah,
freeway tunnel.
Yeah, after school. And I better show up. And I was so scared. And then at lunchtime, Ray came up to me. I didn't know who he was. And said, you know what? If you want me to go with you to meet the guys at the tunnel, I'll go with you.
Oh, that's sweet.
That is sweet.
Yeah.
And you know how big he was back then, right?
Yeah.
And the ninth graders never showed up.
Well, never. It seemed like a nice gesture on Ray's part, but the reality is he wanted to go beat up people at the tunnel. And you seem
right.
Like a good excuse to go over there. Well, Sam, what are you up to now? I haven't seen you in a million years.
I know. I'm a chef. I'm opening a new restaurant downtown L.A. Seventh Grand.
Mm. Well, let me get your number off the air. I'll come down and eat for free.
That's perfect.
And then not talk about it on the air.
As long as you don't bring any water balloons.
All right. Oh, that's another story for another day. Hey, Sam, when you heard Ray and I talking about what a-holes Mr. Mallon, Mr. Gage, Mr. Saponzi, Mr. Hensley, Mr. all those guys were we exaggerating at all?
Not at all. Not even one bit.
Wow.
I also ended up with four classes in Walter's office back there. With Ray, I was another guy that had four classes my senior year in ninth grade.
Good to hear from you, Sam.
Bye, Sam.
Bye, Sam.
Give Teddy the name of the place off the air. Come over there and eat. All right, so finally, where were we? See,
CNN.
Ray, gentle giant. CNN. All right, so here I am. It's 5 o'clock this morning. I'm eating my poached eggs, and this story comes on CNN.
Well, an incredible story to tell you about now. 6-year-old Josie Dressendorfer is once again healthy and playing with her friends after a 2-year illness caused by accidentally eating the sticker from a piece of fruit.
Oh.
I was so scared that it was something serious, like, you know, gosh forbid, cancer or a cyst or something that we couldn't do anything about.
Well, as it turns out, it was that. I mean, you see that on any apple, orange, pear that you eat. Somehow that produce sticker, when accidentally eaten, got lodged in her lungs. Her body rejected it. That caused an infection and mucus buildup. Well, once the doctor saw the stickers on the x-ray, she actually had to have surgery to remove it. But after that entire ordeal, Josie is healthy again. And she says she will always peel the stickers off of her fruit from now on.
Probably a good idea.
I didn't even think about stuff like that. Of all the things to worry about in the world, stickers on your fruit.
Pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
First off, CNN.
I can just see you going mad.
You're lucky I didn't get the gig anchoring the morning show because I would still be going.
Right.
First off, sadly, she didn't die. And the reason I say that is if she had died, then they would have removed all the stickers from all the whatevers because we would have had a death on our hands because of these. That's all we would have needed for the lawyers to jump in and we could have removed this scourge from our produce. Now, here's how it started. It started with stickers on bananas.
Bananas that you peel.
We all loved it, too. This was an interesting, it's a stepping stone threshold sticker. There's a gateway sticker. The guys, the sticker drug lords are smart because they said, put them on the banana. And the kids started peeling off the ripe sticker and sticking it to their forehead and the Chiquita banana thing. And it was all fine. So they got us all used to the sticker.
Right.
And then it popped up on tomatoes, but not everyone ate a ton of tomatoes, and there was only one sticker, and it was only on the tomatoes.
And they snuck one by us. Do you remember when they used to put an ink stamp, like from a nightclub, on oranges?
Yes.
That said Sunkissed?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We got
drawn on my food.
We got the stamp on there, the blue stamp on the orange, and then the sticker on the banana, and then one on the tomatoes. Well, then it spread to apples, then it spread to pears.
Now I go into the store and the guy just takes one of those sticker guns and hits my tongue before I go into the produce department. I now have find multiple stickers on things. I got the little number and the name of the place that produced it, or this is a product of Brazil or Mexico or whatever, Chile or whatever it is. I'm just saying, people, it's not a scanning code bar. They don't scan it.
Yeah.
So there's no... It's not necessary as it pertains to the running of the store. It's merely an advertisement. Can we take a stand? How many kids are going to choke on these things or inhale these things before we take a stand? And then there's this part. There's the part where people go, oh, you could eat it. I hate those people. Look, you people who are constantly explaining to me what I could do or why I shouldn't be.
I've got a lot of them.
No, seriously, Danny, you could finish smoking your cigarette when you're done. Just eat the butt. You'd be fine. You could eat it.
Could eat that piece of paper.
Well, yes, I don't want to eat it. And then when I'm peeling it off, it takes the skin off with it. And then I now find myself fiddling with every tomato before I chop it up. And then there's a second sticker now that sometimes I miss. To what end? Let's just go ahead and take a stand and remove this. And let's start thinning the sticker herd in general.
All right.
I have a commuter mug that I brought in here, one of those sort of plastic Starbucks coffee commuter things with a snap top on it that I bought for $15. And every time I pick it up and set it down, I feel a little stick on my hand. It's the ghost of where the sticker was.
Absolutely. Yeah,
because now when you peel the sticker off of whatever durable good you buy, whatever mug you buy, whatever things in your kitchen or in your garage, there's the ghost that the sticker leaves behind. Yeah. It's the adhesive.
Yeah.
Yes, you peel the plastic off, but the adhesive is left behind. Mm-hmm. And then the adhesive collects all the dirt. So you have this weird, sticky, dirty ghost thing that's all over half the crap that's in my house. And if we're not going to stop putting the stickers on, let's at least invent a uniform sticker that comes the F off of either the tomato, the coffee mug, or whatever the F it happens to be on this time. Because there's nothing worse than you do that thing like you start to peel it,
real
it
slow.
Tears.
Yep.
And you get that little sliver. Then you start doing that thing with your fingernails. And then somebody says, well, you know, to get that off, you use a razor blade, a little lighter fluid, and you think, oh, and then you think, wait!
Wait!
What the... And you start scratching. And the worst thing you can do is ruin something when you're trying to get this sticker. You got that little razor blade and you're going, I'm going to get this sticker thing off there.
Yeah.
I'll give you a sticker thing.
Okay.
Like you need another one.
Give me a sticker thing.
If you look around your house, every frame, every sort of picture frame, the little frame that's got sitting up on the nightstand or whatever, will have a nice big white sticker stuck somewhere to the felt on the back or stuck to the front thing. And as you start to peel that or chip that off, it'll take a little bit of paint with it or a little bit of felt with it, whatever it is. Look, let's just make it so it can come off or not put it on at all, which is to say this thing must be easily removable so kids don't choke on it or it doesn't go on. I want some sticker uniformity. We have a rule for everything in this society. I want to be the poobah, the czar, the CEO, the ambassador of stickers, because again, I have mixed feelings about this. I sort of am happy that the girl is back to normal, dead. On the other hand, she would have become a martyr
in
my war, my cause against stickers.
And you need that.
She would have been the Knight Templar.
This is horrible.
Stickers.
I can't believe what's happened to this child from swallowing a sticker.
Yep.
It's terrible.
Yes, I know. Now,
did you hear about that kid that swallowed a free FM bumper sticker?
No.
Wedged in his sternum for a year and a half.
It's too bad.
Like is like. All right. I'm just saying, how many more kids are going to choke before we remove these stickers from our produce? Well,
Yeah.
And then you got to fighting everything with these fingernails and peeling.
It's gross. Every day on the way to work, I eat an apple, a Braeburn.
Mm-hmm.
And every day as I'm in my car, I dig in my fingernail and I take the sticker off. And then I stick it on my car on the thing between the two seats. Now there's 10 disgusting apple-y stickers there.
Right, where the booger should be.
Right. Exactly right.
Here's my suggestion. How about we brand this produce. How about a little brand, almost like you would do with cattle? Look, if you want to get your name out there and it's your produce, so be it. Yeah. I just don't like the sticker part. Or we come up, how about Paul Newman, if you're listening.
Yeah, you do great stuff.
You do a stickerless produce.
Yeah.
There will be lines around the block. And one more quick sticker thought. Here's what we need to do with the stickers.
Yeah.
I thought of this one while I was obsessing with stickers. Every freeway sign, if you drive out here in Los Angeles, every freeway sign you pass, big or small, is covered with graffiti.
Right. Absolutely right.
And now, ironically, barbed wire and graffiti. Right. It's like one of those movies that Kurt Russell may star in the future.
Right.
Los Angeles has been turned into a maximum security prison.
From LA.
Yeah. If our founding fathers drove down the 101 and saw graffiti all over everything, they would barf into their three-cornered hats. There's no doubt about it. Nice job, Villaraigosa, or whatever your real name is. Nice job, buddy.
Well, he's been busy focusing
on graffiti. Yeah. I know, you're busy banging reporters, but if you could take just a moment from banging reporters, perhaps you could focus on the horrible graffiti and trash in this town. It's one of the ugliest-looking towns around. But the point is again, just going to let you finish up with the Telemundo reporter, and then you can focus on the gangbangers that are spray painting all over the freeway
signs. Stop banging. Deal with the bangers.
Yes. Now, freeway sign, big and small, even the small ones that just say exit are just filled with graffiti.
Yeah.
Every new sign that goes on, clear adhesive sticker, piled high,
beautiful.
10 deep. Now, here's what it's based on. When you race motorcycles...
I was waiting for that, yep.
You race dirt motorcycles, you take your goggles, and they put on three or four layers of clear film. Now, you're halfway into the race.
And
the guy in front of you has been spraying mud on your goggles.
Right.
You can't clean your goggles. You rip off one of the plastic shields, thus exposing the new goggle.
Yeah.
And you do it three deep because there's going to be more mud. Every single sign that goes up in Los Angeles or any town where there's graffiti, just the 3x3 ones that say merge or freeway in or whatever it is, put the film, the adhesive film, they make that stuff, it's ballistic now, make that stuff and make it 10 deep. The gangbanger comes in, spray paints all over it, you just come and rip it right off the back. And
sometimes
you have a brand new sign.
When you take it upon yourself to do your civic duty, sometimes I think, doesn't he know he can't really accomplish this task? Nobody's going to listen to one voice crying in the wilderness on this one.
Right.
But I think you may have actually solved that. My idea was to electrify them.
I'm up for that,
but
too.
But it seems like a bigger nuisance, and yours is actually already in practical use. That happens on a certain kind of cars, windshields as well, a spot right in front of the driver.
Yeah, your cell phone comes with that.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
10 deep, I think you're onto something.
Multi-layered, although here in Los Angeles, we'd probably be 1,500 deep.
Yeah.
And that would last us. Last us a long weekend. But anyway, Ragosa, when you're done banging the chick from Telemundo, go ahead and implement the Ace Man's ideas, would you? Please.
Nice.
All right. Let's move forward in life. We need to take a break. Constantine from American Idol. Morales. But the point is I know Miss Constantine.
So does everybody.
The man with the clef.
Smoldering
look and a velvety tone. Constantine from American Idol next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser.
Welcome back. It's American Idol Live. The results coming your way here with Anthony and Constantine. One is out for good. Gentlemen, good luck to both of you. America voted, and Constantine, you are going home tonight.
And this morning, Constantine Maroulis is on the Adam Carolla Show.
From season 4 of American Idol, one of my favorite seasons. I don't know why last year seemed a little flat to me, but season 4, Constantine.
Were you watching last season, Constantine?
I was. I was covering the show, actually, for Yahoo. I did this show called American Idol Buzz Session on the internet, internet TV.
Right.
And lots of fun. Listen, you know, probably not our best year, probably the worst year, actually. A little lackluster, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, you
what
know.
What was that guy's name? Shibuya?
Shibuya, yes.
What was
his name? No,
Sanjaya. What, now, did you find that humorous at all, that he kept staying in and that they were kind of making a mockery, or did you find it, like, blasphemous?
Well, you know, I kind of felt bad for him because actually, I know everyone's going to think I'm crazy for this, but he does have a sweet sort of tone to his voice, right?
Oh, I didn't see how he was that bad.
Well, he ended up being really bad, in my opinion, but... And he's a nice kid. He auditioned really well. I just think that he got so nervous. He's so young.
Right.
And then he just started to buy into the freak show. And he's like, okay, right. I'm just going to be a freak.
I'll be the freak.
And people like me.
Yeah.
And that vote for the worst thing. Were you ever part of the vote for the worst?
No, actually, people say that I was sort of affected by that because someone who was one of their big target on my season ended up surpassing me
Scott.
On the show. Scott. Mm-hmm. The sort of prison guard looking guy.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. But listen, you know, it's a great show. We watch, you know, even this year, the numbers were just disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't even matter who seems to be on the show anymore. But
no.
But at the end of the day, some real talent does surface out of it.
What do you think of Bo Bice?
He's a good friend of mine.
He sucks.
Wow.
I
don't know if I totally agree with that, but I feel that...
Well, I don't care if he can sing. He sucks. I'll tell you why.
Why is that?
Because I was up for Best Reality Star of the Year.
Oh.
And he wins with 11 million votes.
Wow.
The next guy, me, had 700,000.
Right.
Bounty Hunter had 400,000. 11 million votes.
Oh, my
gosh. Because you were on that friggin' show. Your friend sucks.
Constantine, I'm going to tell you. Sometimes Danny makes things about him.
That's okay.
Not very often.
Well, this one's about Bo Bice. I think he sucks.
Give me a break.
But this is about you.
Well, you know, I'm here. It's been an awesome couple of years. You know, no, I wasn't one of their chosen ones. But I've managed to stay out there, you know, do a lot of stuff I love to do. You know, do some Broadway, do some touring, do MTV shows, whatever. And now finally I started my own record label. And,
wow.
And it's called Sixth Place Records.
Ah.
So, you know.
Very clever.
And,
what was
here,
Jennifer Hudson, by the way?
She was,
I believe,
the year before me, maybe sixth or seventh
right.
place. So, you know, sixth is the new first.
I don't know if it's just the name and or the talent and or the good looks, but you're one of the very few that I remember. I go, oh, wow, that guy had some, you know. So you really did. I thought you stood out very nicely.
Well, thank you. You know, I've been doing this a long time, and I think I was one of the first guys to really come on there that had a lot of experience, you know, and had been touring and stuff like that. So, yeah, it sort of worked out for me, and, you know, I've been starring on The Bold and the Beautiful all summer long, which has been
a lot
of fun. Yeah,
people love that show. Love it.
It's like the number one show worldwide. It's crazy. These guys that go to Italy, and it's like they're, you know, Burt Reynolds or something.
I think Europe just likes Jerry Lewis and Hasselhoff and all the shows we make fun of to piss us off.
Right.
You think so?
I think they get together and they go, how else can we piss off the Americans? And the French go, well, we don't have an army. We can't beat them. But I'll tell you what would kill them. If we erected a statue to Jerry Lewis, that would kill them.
Yes. Well, I will say this. Constantine is easily the best looking of all the Idol contestants ever.
Oh. Well, that's nice of you to say.
Tell him that.
I might have gone with Kelly Clarkson, but aside from her,
no.
I'm going to go.
He is the prettiest and the most handsome.
Well, Constantine.
Oh, that's nice of you to say. Well, you're sort of like the prettiest radio DJ I've ever seen in my life, so that's cool. Thank you, and I'll be here all week.
I mean, barely beat out the Grease Man.
Let me ask you something, Teresa.
Yeah.
Would being in a relationship with Constantine, and I mean a physical relationship at the moment, and when you looked up and realized he looks just like Jesus, would that freak you out?
You mean being Jewish?
Chicks dig Jesus.
Jesus is my homeboy.
Not with a boner.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I've never seen that.
Yeah.
That okay, you got me there.
But a guy who can sing, and I mean, just during the commercial, they were rehearsing.
Mm.
This guy has an incredible voice, just a cappella.
I heard it, and I agree. And why not let the kids at home in on it? You got a song you're going to do. And by the way, Constantine is the name of the debut album. Debut, I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, I've taken a lot of time and gotten to do a lot of different stuff since the show, and I think if I'd done a record, maybe like Bo, right off the show, wouldn't have been the record that I wanted to do.
Right.
And I took some time, and I started my own label, and, you know, wrote a lot of the songs and put my own group together.
Here's what's cool about this. It's self-funded and self-released. This is the entrepreneurial spirit. Look, all things being equal, I'd much rather give my money to an artist than to the man who then gives the artist a stipend to live off of. So this goes to the artist. This is is Constantine. That's right. He can do all the booger sugar he wants with that
what
money.
Is that?
You go to Constantine Maroulis, which is Maroulis.com,
dude,
by the
why'd
way.
Why'd you put your last name in the .com thing? Nobody's going to spell that.
That was a long time ago. It's sort of fixed in there now, but what are you going to do? You know, you search
you
me,
can buy
it pops right up.
On MySpace.
Right. Yeah, sure.
I'll tell you
it's going to be in stores everywhere August 7th. Oh. Sony is doing all the distribution. It's not like it's pretty fun. You know, we got it covered, but...
I'll say this. Sorry for cutting you off because we're running behind. What I want to do is take a break, and then Constantine will play live for us. It is worth waiting for, Kitty. So Constantine will blow one out. We'll do a little news. Also, developed a series with Kelsey Grammer based on his childhood, which I'm interested in hearing about as well. So live song, Constantine, next. One out based on the success of American Idol. He did a little soul searching, got turned down by some record companies, and decided it was time to form his own label.
Goodbye.
He's not going to pay the man. He's going to pay himself.
Goodbye.
Self-funded and self-released, everybody.
He was
everybody.
Busy being on Broadway.
That's right. He was busy wowing them in the Great White Way. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
I think so.
There you go. Constantine Maroulis or Maroulis.
Maroulis.
Maroulis.com is where you go for more info. But by the time you get to Constantine, you punch that in, Google that in, we'll find you, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
The album is out in stores Tuesday, August 7th. You're going to do a song from it?
Yeah, this is the single. It's called Everybody Loves, and it's been featured on The Bold and the Beautiful all summer long. They have me on there sort of playing myself, got to do a lot of different songs. So we're going to strip it down and let it rip for you.
Who's your guitar player, by the way?
This is Paul Pesco, the great Paul Pesco.
Hi, Paul Pesco.
He's played with everyone, Madonna and J-Lo, everybody. So pretty happy to have him here today.
Thank you. I wish Madonna and J-Lo were here.
Listen, Constantine, may I just say before he sings, as charming and handsome as you may have found him on Idol, he's more so live.
Yeah, but
that's
Paul,
nice of you to say.
Next time you come in, bring Madonna.
I'll make a phone call.
Yeah, I mean, Constantine's not chopped liver, but Madonna.
We're not going to get Madonna. We maybe could get J-Lo.
Bring J-Lo in next time.
Okay.
Give her the old El Kabong with the guitar and drag her limp corpse in here. Me and Bonaducci will go to town on it. All right, Constantine, here we go. From the debut album, Constantine. Oh, wait, I should say the name of the song. Everybody Loves.
Na 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 na. Well, I don't believe we can't find the remedy, and I don't know why everybody says goodbye. It don't matter who you are. Everybody dreams of a perfect life, and that's all right. So let's get busy, give it a try. Everybody loves somebody tonight, it'll be all right. Cause everybody loves, everybody cries, singing na 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 na. Well, you can drink champagne with the president of Spain, be a poor man. Wherever you go, whatever you find, it's really just one kind. It don't matter who you are, it's written in the stars. We're singing everybody loves, everybody cries, everybody dreams of a perfect life, and that's alright. Yeah, it's getting busy, give it a try. Everybody loves somebody tonight, it'll be alright. Some might say it's a hopeless fight, like the sun coming up on a Saturday night. But I say everything will be alright, cause everybody loves and everybody cries, yeah. Oh. Alright. We're singing everybody loves, everybody cries.
Everybody dreams of a perfect life, and that's all right. Yeah, yeah, let's get busy, give it a try. Everybody loves somebody tonight, it'll be all right.
Nice backup on the guitar and yeah. backing vocals, Paul. Constantine is the name of the album. It is in stores August 7th. It is self-funded, self-released. Help out our good friend Constantine. Not that he needs your sympathy, but I just like the idea of the you doing it yourself.
Thank
and I think
you.
That's cool. And I think it's a nice age we're living in where you don't need the big labels and you don't need the man. You got the internet, you got yourself, you got your computer, you can record it, you can package it, you can make it. And then the art gets better because you don't have a bunch of JOs in suits telling you what to do.
Yep.
Constantine, God bless you. And quick question to Paul who's played with J-Lo. Mark Anthony, a-hole, right?
He's been very nice to me.
Really?
Yeah, well, I've heard he's hurt a lot of people, but he's always been very nice to me.
I wish you weren't a liar.
I'll tell you, whenever I see that guy, I'm like a dog in a movie who recognizes the bad guy halfway into the movie, but my blind hot chick owner wants to know what the problem is.
Right.
Come on, that's hilarious. From The Office. He's a sweet guy. I'm just like, oh, God,
my brother looks like him.
Really?
My older brother looks just like him.
I hate him too now.
I know.
Wow. A sewer rat.
But please tell me Madonna's cool.
Oh, she's very cool.
All right. Then,
I know you guys think
she's hurt a lot of people, but she's always been very nice. That's his standard statement.
I love that. Madonna's Madonna.
I just wish you weren't a
heartbroken 17-year-old Constantine who went on tour with her in 1994. All right, Constantine, God bless you. Constantine, name of the album, T.
Yes.
News, what's coming up in it?
Constantine has a new album.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Oh,
she's in love.
I'm in love. Yeah. No, we're going to hear about OJ, Seth Rogen, and Dick Cheney.
It's just the Rent part. You love the fact that he was in Rent.
He can sing. He's got a great voice.
But even if you just pay Rent, you're in love with the person, right?
Pretty much,
you're so in love with that musical. All right, we'll take a quick break. News when we come back.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaduce and Teresa Strasser. We're looking for a new phone screener.
Hell yeah, welcome to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaduce. You're on the air, but I have to screen you first.
Can you just have Adam call me baby doll and I'll be so happy?
Oh, you are now starting to piss me off.
Why?
You're clogging up the line!
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yikes.
You're clogging up the line. T.
Yes.
The news, baby doll.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
I do enjoy being called baby doll, by the way.
Thank you.
But did Dick Cheney enjoy his very uncharacteristic television appearance last night?
Well, you mean Mr. Charisma? Because I know him as Mr. Charisma.
Exactly. Mr. Charisma was on Larry King. Take a listen to this Factory of Charm.
Wouldn't you like to be liked?
Well, up to a point. But if you wanted to be liked, I should never have gotten involved in politics in the first place. Remember, success for a politician is 50% plus one. You don't have to have everybody on board.
But just both, they're both, you know what it was? It was one of those Mexican standoffs. Who's going to die first?
Yeah.
It was a who's going to die first chicken game. Yeah. They just squared off.
The staring game went for one of them to pass.
Yeah. At a certain point, Larry King fell asleep in the interview, and Cheney had celebrated, but it was premature. He woke up.
Well, Cheney shot him in the face.
Do you think during the commercial there was, how many heart incidents have you had? Really?
I think there's also, so out of politics, I could have the hot young wife, too.
Yeah. Right. I always feel sorry. The real victim here is Larry King's wife.
Right.
You're some hot 30-year-old chick. You marry that buzzard, and you're like, well, over-under on him is 18 months, and then I'll be rich.
Well, Barbara Walters is still alive. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yes?
I was going to say, Barbara Walters is still alive, and today on The View, big announcement this morning. Let's take a listen.
Please let it be Kathy Griffin.
You are about to meet the new moderator of The View, and we are thrilled. She is brilliant. She's funny. She's an enormous talent. She's an Oscar-winning actress, a Broadway superstar, and we have her. Please join us in welcoming Whoopi Goldberg.
Hold on. Did she say super preachy, unfunny, and hasn't been funny since 1986?
That's what I heard.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
And moderator.
Yeah. Whoopi Goldberg, first off, now here's the deal, everyone. You people out there constantly complaining about minorities, whether you're black or woman, how hard it is to be get along if you're black or if you're woman, or certainly if you're both. I mean, you talk about hobble. What a handicap. Yes. If Whoopi Goldberg was a white male comedian, she would have been killed. She would have been stoned to death years ago for being unfunny. She only gets by because if you say anything bad about her, then you're uptight.
Well, right.
Then you're bigoted. Then you're racist.
Maybe she was hilarious this morning.
Oh, I'll bet. Let's hear it.
Big moment.
Let's hear it.
Well, the thing I'm looking forward to the most is just the hot topics. The hot topics thrill me.
It's the best part.
I just love it. Yeah. I love it. And the thing I'm looking forward to the least is trying to get in between all everyone talking at one time.
Well, we'll work on that.
Yeah, we're still working on that.
That's a hard one.
That was some great stuff. Well,
that's the first time she said that since Ted Danson.
Jumping Jack Flash. What a movie.
Yeah.
She is unfunny and preachy, and I've had an ass full of her. And if she was a white male, she would have been tossed many years ago.
If you'd said it made you want to kill yourself, that would be a good segue to my next story.
I may kill myself, yes.
Well, if you do so, and you decide to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, you would most certainly not be the only one. That is a very popular suicide site. In fact, this week, the coroner in Marin County, California, released a statistical breakdown on people who commit suicide by jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Here is what he found. The bridge, by the way, opened in 1937. More than 1,250 people have killed themselves by jumping off.
God, I had no idea.
It's the world's number one bridge for suicides.
Yeah, seeing the plaque.
The average jumper, 41.7 years old. Youngest was 14. The oldest was 84.
84.
Just wait it out.
How do you even get up on the rail?
That is really like you sitting down and watching Roots, the miniseries, and then with 4 minutes left of the 13 hours you just watch, get up and saying, I've had enough.
Adam's done phone.
Really? Nice. They're going to roll credits in 85 seconds. Really? You don't want to just sit there? You may be dead of natural causes before you hit the water. Did you ever think about that? Statistically, there is a greater chance of you dying by natural causes in the 11 seconds it takes for you to get to the water than you being killed by the hard surface of the bay. And yet, you're going to do
you're
this.
You're going to bother to jump.
What gender do you think jumps more?
I would think men.
I would definitely think men, too. I think women kill themselves.
Pills and slit wrists.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they do the pills and the booze and the stuff. They're not so
You're
much.
Both right.
They're not leapers.
Men outnumber female leapers 3-1. Mm-hmm. And by the way, 83% of people who kill themselves there are white.
Nice.
Asians are second at 9.76%. And
yeah,
then,
but that's there's the reason for that, I would believe, is because there are more Asians, when there are more Chinese in San Francisco, anywhere outside of China.
There is a very, very large Asian community in
As
San
we
Francisco.
Speak, Al Sharpton is arranging a boycott of the bridge.
Not
he
enough.
Doesn't like this.
Not
Blacks are underrepresented.
And most people who jump are Bay Area residents.
You can jump
residents.
And jump for two.
Yeah. Do a cannonball and clear the bay.
93.6% of those who jump are from California.
I would do a jackknife.
Yeah?
I would do a can opener. No, that's my move. If I killed myself, look, here's the old deal. Here's what I want everyone to do who's going to kill themselves on that bridge.
Okay.
You're killing yourself. You want to make a statement. How about the ultimate statement? The can opener. Right. That's where you take the one knee and you pull it up to your chest and then you put the other foot down straight. The other leg straight. That's the can opener. There's a cannonball. There's the jackknife. And then there's the can opener.
Adam, this is radio.
It'd be a nice tip of the cap to the ace man, too.
Yeah.
So we're standing on the bridge and there you go flying past us. Like, I swear that depressed dude was doing a can opener. It's like he must have heard it on the Adam Carolla show.
Well, something that gets very depressing is when young people are far more successful than some of us will ever dream of being.
And well, let me say this quickly in a eerie footnote to this, because I've seen a few documentaries on people killing themselves by jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge.
He calls Faces of Death a documentary.
there is a famous doc about just this.
Yeah, you call it porn, Bonaducci. Look who's talking. The point is a couple of people lived.
Yeah.
Literally just a couple of people, probably doing the can opener.
That's probably what saved them.
They were feet first.
Yeah. They lived, and they said that immediately upon leaving the railing, their first thought was, my God, what have I done?
Yeah.
I want to get back on that bridge. Yeah. So I don't know if it's one of these adrenaline surges, the things that make us all human beings. I mean, for Christ's sake, we're animals first. You can't take us and push us off something without a huge amount of adrenaline being released in our system that says, get me back onto that bridge. Either way, the two people told the exact same story. Yeah. I jumped. The second I jumped, I wished I hadn't jumped. Mm-hmm. That is as good a deterrent as I can think of for jumping off of something, which is you think you want to die. You are going to think you don't want to die when you are 2 feet away from the railing and there's not a goddamn thing you'll be able to do.
My first thought would be, I wish I was Bugs Bunny. So I wouldn't actually fall till I'd taken notice that I was out there and then run back through the air.
Only if your legs spun starts in the air and Brian makes the right sound effect, please.
Well, it is an interesting point because the guy in the documentary I saw, exactly what you said. The minute he was airborne, he changed his mind and he righted himself so that he'd go in feet first and he lived. Mm-hmm. But you have to imagine the majority of people might change their mind, but it's too late.
Right.
Yeah, that whole gravity thing.
That's right.
Right.
Tell it to St. Peter. What's the next story, T?
Well, as I was saying, it's very depressing sometimes when the youngsters exceed all of us in their careers. Seth Rogen, you know him from Knocked Up. Mm-hmm. Hugely successful movie this year. He's become a superstar, and he's got a new movie out, coming out. It's called Superbad. You may have seen the posters everywhere.
Yes.
He plays a cop in this new movie. It's about a dorky high school senior and his friend, and they're trying to do something that would make them cool before they graduate. Anyway, he went on Letterman, and he talked about the script, which, of course, he wrote.
I wrote it when I was in high school, actually. We started writing it. Me and my best friend, Evan, had no luck with women at all, shockingly. I didn't have this suit yet then, you see. So we thought, like, how can we get girls, you know? Maybe we'll go write a movie together. And then we realized, like, telling girls that you go home after school with your best friend and you write a movie, that is like the least cool sounding thing you could ever do, and it's very gay. It's very, and because we have so much fun, we just laugh with each other and just we're together and just being with one another.
He's adorable.
I know, but I want him dead.
I know.
I want him to do a can opener off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Don't change your mind.
He's like 22. He's been in 15 of the last top 20 movies. He's writing. He's producing. He's nice. He smokes a ton of weed. He's got that because he has. I know he smokes copious amounts of weed because he has that pot laugh. He just goes,
how many people have you interviewed that you've said to them, so when you came out to California to become a star, what happened? And they say something to the effect of, it was weird. I came out, I got an agent, I went on my first audition for the series, and I got it.
Yeah.
And you just want to gouge their eyes out, like right there, you know, because everybody else is struggling their ass off and waiting tables, and some people just come out here and their first audition. I hate them.
No, I do, too.
I don't even know who that Seth Rogen guy is. I thought you were talking about Joe Rogan. Whoever he is, I want him dead, too.
The point is me and Bonaducci have paid our dues. Yeah. Bonaducci had to wait to the ripe old age of 10 and a half before he was on the number one TV show in America.
Yeah. That's right.
Please.
And I had to wait till I was 19 and a half to sell plasma.
He paid his dues in the first and second grade, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
I did it backwards. A lot of people come out here to be a star and become waiters. I became a star and then evolved into a waiter.
You've been on several hit shows. There was a long time in between. Mm-hmm. Partridge Family and Breaking Bonaducci.
Right.
Yeah.
Yet you've been on two excellent shows and many not so excellent. Are you guys aware of what's happening on television this summer?
What's happening with Rerun?
What's happening with television? What America's watching?
No, I'm confused because I scan around and I see who thinks they can dance. And so you thought you could do impressions and everyone thinks they have talent, all this. And I just sort of skim through everything and I go, I don't know which one of these shows is successful. They all seem bad to me.
Right. I know. That's why I was shocked to find the top 10 shows from last week. And I must share them with
Please
you.
Please do.
Because
Please.
It will blow your mind.
Mm-hmm.
The number one show in America right now is called America's Got Talent.
Oh, it is.
It turned out to be a hit.
That is the number one show with Hasselhoff and Sharon Osbourne.
Oh.
Number one.
Mm.
Beating everything.
Ugh.
More upsetting is the number two show, The Singing Bee. Remember that thing that looked like it was going to be a flop?
It's also one of the oldest radio bits, pardon me, ever.
Mm-hmm.
You'd play a song down in the radio and then shut off the sound and they'd try and keep singing. It's been in radio.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
It's been in radio since I got it. They were playing it on the morning show. Welch and Woody in Philadelphia were playing it in 1988.
And the
They're going to be in here in January. So
that's what I heard.
Well, you think, okay.
I'll be getting them coffee. You need a warm-up, Mr. Welch? I'm sorry. Woody. Sorry.
Did you need a Woody? Welch?
Okay, so the
Let me tell you
bee,
what all these games are. Please. I know you're trying to get through them, but all these shows, it's... I go through the TiVo, I put the menu up, and I scan through, and I see, everyone's got talent, America loves talent, mm-hmm. So you think you can sing, so you can dance, a spelling bee. I have the same thought when I walk through a casino and I pass the Keno area,
which
is, what are you people doing here? What's going on? I don't know how this works, but I know enough to know I'm not interested in this. You'll find me either drunk by the pool or playing blackjack. Do you people like gambling? And if so, why not come over and play some blackjack with me? And what are you doing in a casino? Who are you? You disgust me. I have to get away from you.
Right.
I can't figure you out. I don't want to take the time to figure out what's going on with this country. It's Keno in the casino. It's crowded. Can't figure it out. Don't like it.
Who's watching so you think you can dance?
And you must be stupid to be doing this.
Right. Now, that's number four. Now, remember, the Singing Bee is number two. And you might think to yourself, I can't believe anybody wants to watch one show about people trying to remember lyrics.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. There's another show. It's called Don't Forget the Lyrics, hosted by Wayne Brady. That is the number six show.
I feel like I'm taking crazy
in America right now.
How does that guy keep getting work?
He's talented.
So?
Yeah, but still.
As far as Keno goes, this to me is the Keno of sitcoms. And maybe I think I'm missing something. But the number seven and the only sitcom here in the top 10 in America is Two and a Half Men. What is going on?
That is...
What is going on?
It is proof that Charlie Sheen is a vampire.
Two and a Half Men is when I pass by the sports book and I see Hyli up on the big screen. And I'm like, how do you bet on this? I don't even know where to begin with that one.
Yeah, no, it's me and Adam playing soccer with Gary Coleman. That's what Two and a Half Men is.
Well, also in the top 10 is Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Okay, I get it. It's standard trivia. It's cute. Hell's Kitchen is number five.
Mm. Hell's Kitchen?
Mm.
Is that a cable show?
It's on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
8.9 million viewers last week. And then there's some show called Shark. I think that has...
James Woods,
a lawyer.
I didn't know that.
Right.
That is the number 10 show. I guess it's a hit.
Hold on. This just in, new show on Fox, Keno Night.
Oh!
Wow.
Talk
about serendipity, or maybe they just quickly turned my idea into a pilot.
I thought they were going to do that documentary on that place we like to hang out, Mr. Fister, the bar. That'd be a huge hit.
Okay, well, briefly,
That's
let
on
me...
oxygen, yeah.
Let Go me ahead. Tell you that, as you already know, OJ gave an extensive interview. In brief, Fred Goldman, the father of murder victim Ron Goldman, had this to say about OJ's interview.
You're listening to the ramblings of a moron.
I will play some of those ramblings.
Breakdown. I got a fire call screen.
I will play some of those ramblings when we come back, including calls that did not get properly screened.
Good times.
Very good.
Let me just say this very quickly before we go to break. I told Danny to break out the yeah, but still. You know, when you're wrong, yeah, but you don't want to be wrong, yeah, but you don't want to sit there with a puss on, you just say yeah, but still.
Yeah.
I will occasionally, I don't like to let people in on my secrets, but the close cousin to yeah, but still is the fading... I don't know about that. That's when you're really wrong and you really have nothing to say. The time I called this chick I was really into, I did the serial calling. I called 18 times in 20 minutes. This was 1993, 1994. She was the only person in North America, evidently, with caller ID.
I called her like two
days later, and I'm like, hey, what's up? All casual. Hey, it's been a while. I almost forgot about you. She said, almost forgot about me. Well, haven't you been calling? And I said, who, me? No, not me. Why? No, this is the first time I picked up. I haven't called. You start talking too much. Yeah. I haven't used the phone for anything. I went to order pizza. I walked down there, handed the guy a note, walked home. I don't even know. I didn't call you. And she said, oh, because according to my caller ID, you called 86 times yesterday. And I gave the... I don't know about that. The fade out. I don't know about that. It's not quite. Yeah, but
I don't
still
know about that.
But it'll work in a pinch.
If you tried it, if you combined it and took the yeah out, listen to this. I don't know about that, but still.
What are you going to do?
There's a possibility.
Yeah.
Good.
All right.
Well, combo action.
We'll take ourselves
That's
a break.
Why you get the big bucks.
And be back with OJ next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaduce and Teresa Strasser.
Would it surprise you to know that the Bronco ride was never brought up in court? The perception was better than the fact. The perception being he was trying to get away, so they like keeping that perception out there.
Right, what's
if
the
they
fact?
Brought it up in court, they would have to say the facts.
Yeah.
It's time to break down the game film from last night's O.J. Simpson interview.
O.J. takes the stand
on the Adam Carolla Show.
Every time I think about O.J. trying to put that glove on, I picture those bad commercials where they say, you're tired of lugging the shampoo and conditioner into the shower? And they show the guy struggling with the two bottles.
Yes.
I can't. Well, now Pert Plus combines the two. They always have to have the person doing the thing that you easily do every day with a vacuum, with shampoo, with a knife, except for they're taking the knife and mashing the handle into the tomato. That's what OJ reminded me of when he was trying to get that glove on.
God, if
it doesn't fit,
you must acquit.
Look, it takes me 20 minutes to put a golf glove on anyway.
Right.
If you soaked it in blood, dried it in the sun, and then had me put a surgical glove on underneath it, and I didn't want to put it on, I'd still be working on it today, 12 years later.
Just so you're aware, the Native Americans, when they were, and believe me, I'm not saying anything bad about the Native Americans. We were meaner to them than they were to us. But sometimes they'd stake out the round eye.
Right.
And all they do is they put a leather strap around his neck and peg it into the ground and then wet it. And it would dry in the sun and slowly strangle him to death.
Well, Sam, what that red mark is, Bill. What you and your man
were up to this weekend. Well, listen, OJ knows who did it, finally.
He does.
Well, he's got an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And as you all know, he was interviewed on the financial news website, MN1.com. I don't know how they scored an exclusive interview with O.J. Simpson, but they did. It was streamed online yesterday at 5 o'clock Central Time. And he alludes to the fact that he knows who did it. Now, if you remember from the trial, there was a woman named Faye Resnick. She was Nicole Simpson's best friend, and O.J. has sort of intimated that Nicole and Ron Goldman were killed by drug dealers.
Drug cartels. She had a $20 a month cocaine habit, and she smoked half a doobie one year.
Well, let's take a listen to OJ on his idea about who may have killed Ron and Nicole.
I tell everybody Faye Resnick had to be involved, and there's one guy, because of what a therapist said, there's one guy I think could have been directly involved, but, you know, I got to wait for that.
He's got to wait till somebody pays him even more money.
Yeah. Let's give it another, 12 years?
It's been 12 years.
I don't need to know anything about forensic evidence to know he did it. I just know human nature. and I know if another human being outside of OJ killed this person, they would have told somebody by now.
Yep.
They would have gotten drunk and bragged. They would have told the chick they were sleeping with. They would have said something to somebody who then would have said something. They would have tried to capitalize, monopolize, write a book, something. People cannot not talk about something. And you can barely not gossip about the chick who's put on a couple pounds in the cubicle next year, much less the biggest story in the world over the last 20 years. Whoever did this would have been a lower echelon whoever because of the sloppy, you know, this wasn't a high-priced assassin. This was some junkie. The person, if it wasn't OJ, would have been strung out on drugs, high and very low in whatever the syndicate he was involved with probably a ninth grade education. Believe me, that person would have gotten high and said something to somebody.
Absolutely. The other thing is that we can sit here and say OJ did it when he was acquitted and he won't sue us.
Yes.
That's another reason you can prove
that's
it.
How you know he did it.
Well, he's, of course, written a book called If I Did It, now owned by Fred Goldman. He discussed that a bit as he was doing this interview. But the most interesting part was that viewers were allowed to phone in live with questions. And Adam, as you know from your years doing radio, sometimes a call screener maybe lets a call through that perhaps isn't what they would have wanted. Let's take a listen to, I've cut together a few of my favorites.
My kid Chris was wondering, do you think it was a bigger feat to break 2,000 yards in one season or slice two necks in one night?
I'm having a little trouble, Kevin, hearing you.
All right, Alex is listening to us in Ohio. Hey, Alex.
Remember when you played for the 49ers?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you kill Bill Walsh?
Hey, OJ, I had a question for you. You know, with everything that Michael Vick has been going through and being indicted, I was just wondering if you wanted to meet me on the Jersey Shore to do live.
There we go.
What?
Jokers, but that's the great thing. It's
No, I don't mind.
He doesn't mind. Now, do you guys want to take a dip into Lake OJ and find out what really hurts him?
Yeah.
As long as I can spit it to being about me.
To me, it hurts me the most. The two things that hurts me the most, well, other than being considered a murderer and all that, is that to some degree, exposing this racial divide, which might be a good thing. I don't know. being considered a batterer when every girl I've ever dated stood by me during the trial or became the poster boy for abuse, and that hurts me.
Can you make it about you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm the poster boy of substance abuse.
Sweet.
I could have spun that in a sentence, no problem, had I not been asked.
That was well done.
Thank you.
The idea.
Self-abuse.
Just the idea that all the white cops who showed up at OJ's house all the times for all the domestic dispute calls that came in all throughout the years always just turned a blind eye to it because it was OJ, because it was the Jews.
Yeah.
The idea that somehow can get spun into racist cops, and as I screamed 2 hours ago, do you think there's a cop on the LAPD force, active or retired, who's not used the N-word?
No. I think there's very few adults that have never used the N-word in their entire life.
And there's very few adults, and then you take...
Never.
Really?
No, never.
Jesus, you're... How'd you call your stepdad for dinner?
Jesus.
I have never uttered that word, ever.
Hey, look, here's...
I wish you weren't a liar.
I will take a lie detector test.
I just wish you weren't a liar.
OJ won't, but I will.
Here's the point. I've used it a billion times, so
I've
everyone I know.
I've never called anyone a self-righteous bitch, ever.
Until
swear
now.
To God.
The point is there's not a person, you know, I would say 85% of the population of the United States has dropped an N-bomb at one point in their life.
Usually when you're a kid. It's the same as the F-bomb
before
when you're
you
going
know
to
what it means. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 110% of the LAPD, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, have used the N-word.
Highly likely.
Every cop has used the N-word.
So,
doesn't make them racist,
right?
Just like I've used the C-word for a woman. Doesn't make me misogynist. Right. All right.
No, it makes you accurate.
We're out of time. Thank you.
Andy, bitter.
Take a quick break and wrap it up next. Well, that's about it for that. I want to thank Constantine Maroulis.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Dreamy.
Teresa Maroulis.
Mmm. Teresa'd like to rent his unit out for the weekend. You know what I'm saying? Is your unit for rent? Constantine out next Tuesday in stores everywhere. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo. I'm a loser. I will never get out of this hole called life.